This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Here we go again, 7:01 on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is The Show. You are live in Studio C, and it's just us three. I figured that would rhyme well, and it did. It's Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and myself, Clayton McKee, along with you for 3 hours of, well, love and tenderness.
Oh, we're not sure what.
We're not. Yeah, we're really not sure what. We're all kind of scrambling around to get shit together for today. I think everybody. I didn't hear about Al. Were you running scattered today too, or no? Just.
Oh, I'm on it. I have. That's ten. No.
Get that.
I have 10 seconds to like get anything done.
And we're trying to kill mosquitoes in the studio.
Right, get that buzz deck for a second.
For those of you that don't know, we've had a lot of rain in Arizona over this summer, and it's been very odd for us to have as much rain as we've had, and the mosquitoes have gone crazy. Mm. I made the mistake of deciding that yesterday afternoon I could take a leisurely nap in my hammock in the backyard and woke up an hour later with a whelp on my neck from a rather large pterodactyl-sized mosquito, apparently. And you said that there was a kid in school?
Scottsdale moms are comparing the number of mosquito bites on their children. Oh, well, my son has 86. Oh, my son only has 45. Like,
yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, all of the kids are just covered in them.
Covered. Several. Yeah. And Al said that he's fortunate, like my mom and my grandfather was, they ignore him altogether.
Just evil.
They just don't ignore you. Or you know, they ignore the evil.
Professional courtesy.
Don't drink his blood, it's cold.
I guess not.
And seriously, like, we'll go to, my sister lives on an island, like, right up against the forest. Oh, and my niece Marissa's birthday, if she's listening.
Oh, hi, Marissa.
Happy birthday.
I hope she's not 21, but I'm pretty sure she's 20 this year.
Mm.
So if she's 21, I would have sent her the card about drinking. no, she's 94, so she's 20. But she lives right up against a forest, so when they have parties, like, I mean, it's a whole day event of, like, spraying and citronella.
Like, candles,
right. And fogging the yard, and then you still get, like, maybe an hour of pleasant weather outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets filthy nasty, and then everybody's getting bit up, and I'm just sitting there like, what's a mosquito? Like,
yeah, they'd be all there.
And then the next day, everyone just looks like they don't know how to shave their legs.
Have the measles.
They have red bumps. Yeah, or that. Mm-hmm.
Just when I think that I can like you, there you go again.
Yeah.
No.
So many reasons to dislike
Albert.
So many
reasons. Poor Al.
Well, as you
really should be reproduced because genetically I'm kind of a miracle.
I've noticed.
Wow.
And
my zero cholesterol and ability to hold alcohol.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there, Al.
I will because I'm genetically superior.
Oh, and for those of you viewing and if you've listened, Marnie's not late. She's just not going to be here this week.
Right, she's gone a different route.
She and Ernie, as we call her, are still on their, I guess, cross-country road trip. They tagged me in a picture earlier on Facebook where they found somewhere in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they had lawnmowers sitting in front of it, and two of them were actually rare lawnmowers that are part of the breed that I collect.
So did they hitch one to the car?
I was going to ask them to, and then I realized that I think based on the daylight and from the picture, and they just posted it 30 minutes ago, probably already gone from
it's
there.
Too late.
Yeah, they probably left him there. And I don't really need them to be picked up for grand theft lawnmower.
And well, they just texted now. They're listening from Highway 385 in South Dakota, Nebraska.
Hello,
so
Nebraska.
Ernie and Margaret, or Peg, as we like to call them,
are listening. So it is just going to be the three of us holding down the fort, and if you've been listening for quite some time, you'll realize we've never been at a loss to come up with something to fill 3 hours with. So
we'll
I think the three of us, though it averages out to an hour apiece, we know that's not going to work.
Right.
It's going to be him.
You get an hour?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be him for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and you and I get 7.5 minutes each.
That seems a little skewed.
No, it is, but that's how this all works out. Because Al just will talk inanely for hours on stuff. It doesn't matter.
I feel like I contribute more than that.
You do.
You do. It's quite all right. You do, yes. By the way, this is show number 185. It is Tuesday.
This one, not you.
Oh, sorry.
Tuesday, October.
You yourself. This one was crying.
Tuesday, October. So what was I crying about?
You walked away from the pity party.
Nothing, dear.
Oh, okay. I'll listen back to
it. Enjoy your nuts.
Oh, speaking of pity party, I'm excited about I asked Al, but he's going out of town. There is an artist that I discovered completely by mistake on YouTube, because you know how YouTube sucks you in and you'll watch one thing and it leads to another thing and another thing and another thing.
Cat videos.
Yeah, well,
that's where you end up.
Well, no, sometimes you start there.
I don't, but I see the appeal.
Sometimes you start there. Well, there's a group, and I bought one of their CDs off iTunes. It's called Scott Bradley and the Postmodern Jukebox, and they're a group that takes current modern-day songs, and they redo them, and they make them sound like they're from the 20s or the 30s. It's kind of a cool remake that they do on songs. Well, one of them was, I think her name is Sia, the artist named Sia, and the song is called Chandelier. And they redid it, but they redid it with this singer. He's got a great voice, but he came up with this character called Puddles the Clown, and it's Puddles Pity Party.
Right.
And he's got a huge, great
Creeper
voice.
Deeper. That's what it looks like. Creeper Deeper. I saw the picture, and I'm like, yeah, invite Doug Wilkie to the clown party.
No. Uh-oh. So anyway, he's a big
Watch
voice.
Watch that fall apart.
I'm going with my friend Daniel Ray, Bootsy, and I are going to go on Sunday here in town to the Crescent Ballroom to see him, which I'm just very excited about to see what in the hell he does.
How fun. I love the Crescent Ballroom. It's a fun
I've never
spot.
Been.
It's a fun
Very
spot.
Fun.
Not been there before. So.
I only go to like nightclubs during the day, so I've been for lunch. But it's a very, very
your
cool
day,
spot.
Day, continuing your day drinking.
Oh.
I heard.
Oh, you heard? What did you?
I know. I posted. And then you,
who the fuck are you people?
You posted on Facebook, and I happened to read that you were day drinking somewhere.
Yes. Yes, extravagantly.
Gotcha. Yes. But anyway, I'm looking. Crescent Ballroom's a good venue, huh? Who have you seen there? Or oh, no, lunch. And you?
Lunch, yeah.
What?
Did you see the Crescent Ballroom? Anybody?
Oh, no, I did. I did a lunch there, too. I've never been there for a show.
Okay.
Again, I'm a day drinker, too, so you don't see me a lot out and drinking at nighttime.
Yeah, I was asleep by 7 p.m. yesterday.
That a girl. That's how it should be.
Now, let's define that. Asleep or passed out?
Eyes closed.
Okay.
In the bed.
Whatever. In a bed.
In my bed.
Oh, in
there
your
you
bed.
Go.
Right. Well, that was
be
good.
Be specific.
You're good,
Home
clean, living.
Down, uh-huh. Tucked under the sheets.
Good.
Okay. Drew is here and Dawn.
I didn't even open the goddamn thing for me.
And fucking Molly. Fucking killing me. Dawn, friend Molly. She is funny, funny, funny. Molly Montgomery. I'll say your whole name. She did her thing about pumpkin spice tampons.
Oh, my God.
And I was, like, enjoyed by white women in yoga pants everywhere. And somebody put on the page, is this a thing? There's flavored condoms. I wasn't sure. Unsettling in so many ways. If you're thinking
so
that you're
going to
do the same thing with a tampon that you do with a condom.
Oh.
It's not okay.
Hashtag, it is not okay. But I had to laugh because, where did you get Michigan from? Didn't I say they were between South Dakota and Nebraska?
You said they were on some highway in the
Highway 385 in South Dakota / Nebraska.
Oh, well,
but where were the lawnmowers?
Oh, I thought they were in Grand Rapids.
Which is Michigan.
Right. I think
no, they're in Minnesota.
Or no, they're Cedar Rapids. They were somewhere else where the lawnmowers were. And I'm sure
possibly
if I were to log
rapidly
into my Facebooks, I could probably figure it out, because that's where they tacked me.
In the Facebooks.
Somewhere in the Facebooks. Yes.
Well, doesn't matter what the price of raspberries are, they're not in season anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, that's
face.
Oh, Molly.
That's not pretty.
Well, what are you suffering through? You've got a red wine this week.
Yeah, and I think it just, like I said, it's because my little wine cellar is not wine cellar temperature. It's a little warmly because it's in Arizona.
Yeah.
So I have to chill my wine for like 20 minutes.
Oh, it's in the in the thing we call the refrigerator.
And then it'll get better.
Atta girl. That'll be
atta
girl.
Pumpkin spice tampons. Just fucking funny.
No, I'm not even going to go look for it. I'm not looking for the satire. I don't care.
Same foil wrapper as the Pop-Tarts. Different aftertaste.
Let me tell you folks a little story about Pop-Tarts. May I tell you that?
Did we mail them to New Zealand?
No, I haven't mailed them.
And they certainly are not here right now.
No,
I've been
because
looking for them.
Because I was a little peckish, and I'm like, oh, we have Pop-Tarts in the studio. So I slipped in here in the dead of night and found them. And
whilst no one was looking.
Yes, and I there were three pairs of whatever berry they were. They were very good. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them immensely. Keystone, South Dakota. I'm sorry. Keystone, South Dakota is where the picture they tagged me from.
Oh, she said Rapid City, South Dakota.
Something. All right, there's that. Thank you for that.
So they're driving through Dakotas.
They're somewhere there, yes. And whatever they're driving with furniture and stuff, they might have had room for one of these lawnmowers. I don't know. They're a 1976 centennial issued lawnmower. Not that anybody gives a shit but me, but I just thought I'd express the importance of this lawnmower.
For those of you that were not alive for this centennial,
hook a chain on that.
It was a golden year in our nation. We celebrated everything in red, white, and blue.
Everything.
I mean, that just got
too much.
They really did. But in a good way. It wasn't like the Y2K or the Ebola virus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people were losing their minds over something kind of joyous. And
it 200 years of being on our own.
Yeah.
We grew up.
It was a very fun summer.
Big boy pants we all had on there, 76.
It's like the time after I bought my house and I stood in the middle of it and I realized that all of the things that my mother said were true. I was in my own house. I paid my own bills, and I could do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah, that's always a fun
moment. Was her thing.
Yeah.
That was her thing. She used to tell us all the time when we were, like, questioning whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She would look at us, and she'd be like, when you grow up, and you have your own house, and you pay your own bills, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I got to do that to my father once when he was in my townhouse. He was saying something shitty, and I'm like, we're done with that conversation, because this is my house.
Yeah.
And that's just an asshole thing to say.
Sure.
And he was like, yep, gotta follow that.
and just
it was just funny to watch his face go, That's fair point.
Just today, I got to pass on that little bit of wisdom because the 9-year-old asked me what my favorite thing about being a grown-up was today.
No.
Just out of the blue, just like kids do.
Kind of like they do.
Yeah, like they do. He's like, I really...
Laughing
really...
you. Wrong answer.
Not for you.
No, I'm sorry.
For legal purposes, I've never laid a hand on a child. But no, and I did it. I turned around and I told him, I said, this is what my mom used to tell me, and I'll tell you the same thing. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You'll grow up and you'll get your own house and you'll pay your own bills and then you can do whatever you want.
Right. Yep.
You're beholden to no one.
Yeah.
Did you let him know that he doesn't have to worry about that for a few years yet, really?
I mean, if he wants to get a job now, I'm not going to turn him down.
Well, contribute. I mean, contributing.
I mean, we could use the rent.
He doesn't need to have the responsibility of a mortgage on his head at this point in life.
I don't have the responsibility of a mortgage on my head anymore, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, unless your kid's like a beaver or something, he's making $1 billion a year, then by all means, take the mortgage. Get it. Let's get on board with some sort of
fuck it. At that point, let's just pay cash and be done.
Yeah. Get an LLC and we'll just funnel the money through that.
I mowed lawns. Well, I was 12 or 11, but I mowed lawns for a couple bucks here and there for the occasional 45 record.
Look out.
I have to finish it because nobody will know what I mean by a 45
record.
Well, and in today's...
Is it a shotgun? Is it a size of beer? She was 12. It could have been any of those things.
Wow. I, in light of some of today's headlines, I don't think we need to be referring to anybody 12 years old and giving them beer or anything else inappropriately.
If we're going to the shooting range, take a beer, fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. And give the 9-year-old an Uzi. Jesus Christ.
Why not?
I mean, if you're going to shoot the guy in face, you want to be a little bit liquored up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll remember it.
Oh, poor, that poor thing traumatized her the rest of her life. I can't
America.
Even know.
But if she'd been 2 beers in, she'd now have no idea.
Woo-hoo! Wow, making fun of a death. Wow, we're starting out low and hope to go lower during the show.
Where's that bar again? I can't see it from way up here.
I think I just tripped on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that bar down there.
Yeah, there
got it. Well, we'll just touch base with everybody. Kat, what have you been up to this week? Anything important to note other than what we're going to be talking about in headlines in a few minutes?
My God, it's been a very busy week, and I had kind of a rough day yesterday in the morning. It's just some work issue that needs to be resolved, and it will be. And so I decided after...
Firing people is the difficult choice.
No. Oh. I'm not nearly so powerful. But yeah,
but they are locked in the walk-in cooler. Molly, ignore the knocking.
had a bit of an issue come up, and so I said, well, fuck it, the rest of the day I'm going to go drinking. So luckily I was rescued by the wonderful Ron Rogers and
Gina I saw
Florio.
That.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow, so that's a dangerous duo.
It was a dangerous duo.
I'm not proud you made it till 7 p.m. with those two.
I know. Yeah,
it's a good time to hang out with those
two. We made a few stops around town.
I'm just going to assume Cobalt right off the top of my head.
No, we started at
the front door.
Started at the bunkhouse. And moved on to Apollo's. And they were working me home is what they were doing. Because then we went to the Swizzle Inn.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
and then
right behind the cat hospital.
Yeah. Exactly.
Some happy, some sad.
And then it was time to go home. And oh, look, there's the 51. And I was home in 10 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, look, there it is.
Yes.
And
then
the Swizzle Inn with a beautiful tableau in the back of a beach. What is that? What's going on there?
That little aquarium.
Great out of Silence of the Lambs. I'm the only person that knows just how fucking creepy that thing is.
Although, as it turns out, like, nicest dive bar bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. and lovely fun.
Oh, yeah.
And trivia night on Wednesdays is a good time.
Yeah, we had a wonderful time.
One of our outings for the with the Liquor and Side Streets bike gang, we went there and had a really wonderful time. Yeah. It was the crowd was so large. You know, they have those really big square tables in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had taken up two of those, and then you know over time people dwindle, and we then had to condense to the one table.
Yeah.
To keep. We had a great time. Just drinks and we hijacked the jukebox, I think, and played everything we wanted.
It was my favorite thing. It was a dive bar with an
old jukebox,
frightening tableau and a jukebox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful time. So, a little hungover today and a little lacking in sleep.
Couldn't tell.
I was I was asleep by 7, but then I was awake at midnight for no reason.
And I called liquor.
The post that I saw this morning at 3 a.m.? Well, now the inability to sleep has kicked in.
Yeah, because I woke up around midnight. You know, you get up and you're like, oh, my mouth still tastes like beer, so I'm going to brush my teeth and... You know, you do that whole routine and try and go back to bed, and then it's like 3 o'clock, and I'm like, fuck it, where's Facebook?
Yeah.
And I took a lot of online quizzes. Learned a lot about myself.
What Brady Bunch character are you? What's your color of your aura?
Peter, orange.
Yeah. Well, your Peter is orange. We have a couple things to talk about.
Different aura.
They come in many colors.
Stop eating Cheetos is my first word of advice.
Because that's...
My dick is orange. Stop eating Cheetos.
You don't understand that? Well,
yeah.
Sorry, we can't help you.
Move along, sir. Move along. Ma'am.
Why does your dick taste like Doritos? Don't ask me questions.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
But yeah, so a little bit of a hangover and then a day packed full of...
Why are you sleeping with shut-ins? Why does your dick taste like Cheetos? Wow, that took it to a new place.
Oh, no.
Continue on, fair lady.
He literally slept with the unwashed. Literally.
I mean, it happens. So yeah, you make bad decisions.
I was the one saying I was being asked that. I was never mind.
Oh, you were acting. Now I get it.
Yeah. Oh, good. It wasn't a 911 call. I'm terribly sorry.
My boyfriend's dick tastes like Cheetos. I fear he's been kidnapped. He's been held hostage in this place for days on end.
Where is this Frito-Lay?
I can't find a fucking Dorito now.
I know where they are.
Yeah. I can murder She Wrote This One.
Oh, Cabot Cove and the Mystery of the Cheetos. Oh.
A lot of Milo Duff, a really bad old joke.
It really is. But, hey, what the fuck? We're doing good.
I'll bet it was funny to begin with.
How's the planning for the book fair? You still involved in that?
Still involved in that, yeah. I had some folks over to the house.
You still haven't read a book yet?
No, I'm working on it, building myself up to it.
Exactly. Well, what, you have to ramp up energy and...
Magazine article at a time.
You know, well, getting that cover open is a lot.
I have difficulty.
See.
Unless it's the cover on my iPad here. I can flip that some bitch open right now.
Well,
that's magnetic.
Yeah.
Oh, no, just I'm interested in what's in that.
The books are in there.
Yeah. Sometimes you have those. Mm-hmm. Readable things. I read the news a lot on the
iPad. I do that, too.
Yeah. But yeah, lots and lots of busyness. I had some ladies over for lunch and some planning this afternoon.
Oh, ladies for lunch.
I know, that's my new gang at the school, the ladies who lunch.
Oh, very good here.
Ladies, not
ladies
providing.
Who lunch. Yeah. Everybody.
Oh, and I brought us a new listener.
Another one?
Another new listener.
Like
I want to
four?
Say hi to Drea.
Drea?
Drea.
Okay.
Yeah, came to the bar the other day and said to me, she says, I love listening to your little podcast thing.
Little podcast, short and stout.
Don brings up the Autumn's Eve NBC Pumpkin Spice Saturday Night Live video.
Yes.
And speaking of listeners, I have it on my list that we never say hi to Pascal, and he's been listening.
He's been posting all kinds of stuff on our Facebook page.
He posts on the Facebook page, he listens, he comments on everything.
Now, I forget, is Pascal able to listen live, or does he listen after?
I'm actually not sure. He's in the Netherlands, is that what we decided?
I think so. I can look it up. He's on our Facebook page.
But I know he's part of the Next Day crew, so I think...
Okay.
I'm not sure how he lives.
It's tomorrow for him somehow.
He keeps up with everything, and then we found out after a little investigating, because I was supposed to remember where he was from.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure it's the Netherlands. That we have the same birthday, as I was...
I remember you saying that yesterday.
Or many years apart.
Like two.
Like your twins.
Let's see where Pascal Simmons is. It shows if the page will load... Well, you liked one. He lives in a castle, apparently.
Well, that's always nice. No. All of the best people
All
do.
Of them,
they
yes.
really do.
Lives in Alkmaar, and I don't know where. Let's Google or look
this up.
I'm going
to Google that again.
Alkmaar is a municipality and a city in the Netherlands.
You are correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the province of Noord-Holland is where he is. Wow.
That means north.
I would say, I think it means North Holland.
Well, I'm just reading what it says. Sylvia Nord.
We're just translating for you.
Thank you very much.
We provide an immediate service.
You're going to need to do that later, because why is it that I always pick headline stories that have names and I could never pronounce? But we have to today. We have to get through it.
All right. Well, we work with Matilda every week. We've never gotten her name right.
You have never gotten her name
right. No, you call her Reiner.
I do call her Reiner. It's true. I think she's related
before
to Carl.
Before you get all the way up the cross, just back it up a little there, Reiner. Put the nails in your mouth and shimmy down, I would
say. Oh, yes.
So I've just stopped saying people's names entirely.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Eye contact. Hey.
Honey, how's it going, darling. Honey? Yeah.
Yeah. Darling, sweetie.
Even the people I know really well, like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's where you know you lost your fucking mind.
Uh-oh.
So we have this thing at work where you, like, call a number and you get in. Some people wear these little things around their neck and you can page them and you can talk to them live.
Sure.
It's like a little walkie-talkie, but you call them from a phone.
Fun.
If you're not wearing the little thingamabobber.
Right.
So I was all proud of myself because sometimes I'll call, like, just the unit-specific person that I need instead of by their name, because I'm like, oh, I don't fucking know their first and last name.
Housewares, line one.
Right. So I was all excited, so I'm like, hey, Maxine, you know, because I did, like, 11 Charlie RCP, and like, hey, Maxine, it's, I was like, oh, my God. She's like, your name is Al. It's Al. I'm like, oh, my God, I was, like, so excited that I got where I was working right, I got your name right, I got the department right, I just
forgot who I was.
I was so proud of myself for getting so many names right.
That's funny.
And it was just to have somebody, your name is Al. Hey, Maxine, it's, oh, damn it. Who
am I? Who am I? And you're looking at your name tag. Who's that?
Who am I? So it was
Jean Valjean.
Thank you. It was, see, she even gets theater jokes. We're keeping her. So there you go. That's when we know that Alzheimer's is rearing its ugly head.
Around the corner.
Yeah. And luckily, I won't know it's happening, so I'll be delighted by the whole thing.
Oh, it'll be interesting when you come in with your less than mind that you have now doing these shows.
And you can just imagine. Like, people will be like, I can't tell the difference. He never knew anybody's name in the first fucking place.
Well, that, and you're going to try to put together a story. Well, you can't find shit on that anyway half the time. So you're going to have
it's always on some other fucking page.
You're going to find it somehow.
Everything's always on some other
fun
fucking page.
And you've been working, and you're going to work more, and you're going to do more
working,
stuff.
Yeah, trying to get ready to go away this weekend and just cramming in some hours.
You're
and
very excited. You changed your Facebook profile picture.
That's for the journey. This week is Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's right. Because Mark Martinez is trying to pin me down to come over to his house, and I haven't had time. So, he doesn't need that fucking timer installed right now anyway. He'll be fine.
It's fine. Yeah, it's going to rain again.
Yeah.
Because I need sprinklers.
He doesn't.
No, allegedly, like, hurricane number 3 is barreling towards us.
Yes, well.
I didn't even know we could get a hurricane. We've had 3 in the last month. Like, that's not how I wanted to learn.
I looked online earlier, and it actually said it was 86 with light showers in Phoenix. I'm like, I don't know where these light showers are. They're very light.
Very light.
They are. No, it rained a little bit where I was at about 3 o'clock.
Of course. I washed the car today in anticipation of my evening trip. So I'm like, of course it's going to go down.
Are you driving?
I have to. I've got to take a whole fucking house full of equipment.
It's going to be filthy by the time you get there. Why bother washing?
I do not leave on a road trip without a clean car inside and out.
Aerodynamics.
No, not just that. It's just it's a kind of a confidence and a good feeling that you're starting out all ready to go.
I often do too, because there's no guarantee that my windshield wipers are going to work during the journey. So,
as you learned in your last one,
and I still did nothing about it. So it can't rain too hard in the next 3 days.
Yeah. Have to get him.
Because it's Arizona, so I haven't gone like a year with like, oh fuck, I think my one windshield wiper is out, because it doesn't. Well, now it rains here, but it didn't used to. This is a new occurrence.
And the other thing was with this car, the one previous, you were driving somewhere and didn't know how to turn the wipers on or the lights. I forget which one it was.
Something. I think it was lights.
We're gonna go with all of the above.
He never knows which lever, which to push, what to do.
Oh,
I think you've learned
the beautiful storm of. August 2008, I remember it well. Driving down 7th Street through that hailstorm that tore up everybody's roofs and ruined everybody's cars, and trees flew down, and Palm Lane became kind of a few less palms on Palm Lane. I had no idea how to, because I had just bought the car and didn't get the little in-service on, like, this is how this car works. Oh, yeah. No idea how to turn on the windshield wipers, and something else I didn't know how to do. Oh, and
defroster, maybe? I don't know if you ever needed that.
Oh, that's happened way too many times to kind of talk about. But I'm like, I know
I fight with the defroster all the time. I never know if I should make it hotter or colder. And it always just fogs up the window more. What? I'm like,
it happens around every December. And now it's gotten a little better because I've been driving for a couple years now. But I have remembered sitting in a parking lot in a car being like, All right, there's a button that makes you able to see out their rear window.
And it's within my reach, but
yeah.
I don't.
And I know my right hand should be able to find it, and the picture will look something like, but I remember the first time that really, and it had been years since we'd seen Frost here.
Sure.
And I was like 3 cars later, and I'm like, I have no idea. And I'm like,
squiggly lines.
But the windshield wiper thing, and that was really dangerous, because I was going like 35 down 7th Street when that storm hit. And I was like, and I had just bought the car and told the guy, oh, fuck you.
I don't need to know this shit.
I don't want to spend another hour with you.
Explain the radio to me. Yeah, 5 seconds.
And yeah, literally. A radio, and where's the gas pedal?
And I had to pull over and, like, figure it out. I was blasting my high beams at people. And this last trip, very dangerous.
Oh.
Coming home from one of the concerts, driving Harrison home, we went through, we were going through by Dodger Stadium, and somebody had hit a light pole and knocked out all of the lights, like, up the hill into Dodger Stadium. Well, the one you're coming off, I think you're coming off the 2, or the 57, like, right into her neighborhood, and it's where 2 highways actually intersect, and the light was completely gone. So we came around a curve, and she's like, wow, it's really dark. She's like, you have to make a left at the light. I'm like, what light? And she's like, oh, my God, the light's out. So we had to, like, come to a stop and then go up, and it's a blind curve into a hill. So the people that came next must have just died, because it was a completely unregulated thing. Yes. And when I got her home, I pulled over to a side street. She had to walk the rest of the way because they had everything blocked off. And going up the hill, she's like, turn your high beams on. I'm like, I don't know how to turn my high beams on. Like, the only time they're on is when somebody's flashing their lights at me. Like, turn those motherfuckers off.
I don't know how. I don't know how they come on.
They only come on accidentally. But so I had pulled over and called 911. I'm like, and I was like telling them from my map on my thing. I'm like, you got to get someone there, like, in the next couple seconds, because there's two people coming at 65 miles an hour that are not going to stop. And that's going to just be a death trap. Yeah.
Horrible.
The other thing I did this week was I had Sunday off, which I was very excited for, and had my plan to take myself out on a lovely date. So, woke up, found out they didn't need me at work, took a quick shower, and was at AMC for 2 movies, 2 glasses of wine, and dinner, and lovely. Nice. I had a great date.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't put out or anything.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to be like, you should put out more often.
Well, I'm not a cheater.
I'm not a chubby chaser.
Wow. Yeah, is that me in the mirror?
Perkins.
No, it's me in the mirror. Oh, God, don't need that.
Don't touch the shit. Fuck.
Oh, I just got a text from Ruben. He has all of our snacks for the road trip ready to go.
Oh, you're not with Ruben. You didn't say that part.
Yeah. Save the best for last. Yes, we're driving up as soon as I leave this lovely. The show's over. I'll have a couple hours to finish loading up everything. And I am going to Vegas for work, for installation up there. So literally, I'm...
Where are you staying?
We are at the Orleans.
Oh, lovely.
Because it's within walking distance to the bar that we have to go to work. So that's convenient.
Sure.
But yeah, we have to drive up. We'll be... I think with traffic being light overnight, we should be able to get there probably in about 4:30 in the morning, because the times change. Time is the same here, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. It'll be fun. And we've already established that this will be high volume concert audio in the entire trip, because that car has a hell of a sound system similar to yours, Bose system. Oh yeah, we're Tina Turnering for at least twice for that concert, and he was all about, because he likes to dance in the car. So,
who doesn't?
His big wheel keep on turning.
Yeah, we were proud marrying just the other day, but down the
I actually seventh. Sprained a knuckle on the windshield.
You don't hear people spraining knuckles often.
Well, because, yeah.
Where you just da-da-da, and then...
Yeah,
windshield. Choreography got the best of me.
Yeah.
Windshield.
Gotcha. That sucks. Uh-huh. Did the windshield survive?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Much tougher than my little finger.
Well, yes.
Oh, that's a personal story.
I mean...
Those taste like Cheetos?
No, but I almost bought Cheetos. And you, sir, what have you been?
Oh, it's just running around work, and like I was explaining, all of these shipments of equipment were to have been here last Friday so that I would have had multiple days. Well, no, I don't know what happened, but somehow this all got fucking stuck in a warehouse somewhere.
Because of the war.
Could be.
One of the drivers probably went day drinking for the day and just left off all the rest of their responsibilities. Said, fuck it, I don't need to do this today.
So, yeah. So
where did it go, Gina?
It got stuck in the warehouse, got here yesterday, and, of course, my day yesterday was already full of a bunch of activities in anticipation of leaving tonight, which so I've just been running around like a chicken with my head cut off today, getting all of this shit ready to go.
Right.
Conveniently, it all is coming together nicely. I'll just have to load it all in the car and drive up there, and we'll be good. I think it'll work out well. If not, well, that's what duct tape's for.
Aaron from LA is concerned about this road at night. Now, are you going? Which way are you taking? Are you going through the Wickenburgs?
Yes, through the Wickenburg up through Kingman, across 40 to Kingman up to that's exactly how we'll go. Mm-hmm. And what I enjoy
that's the only way.
Oh yeah, well that, or you could make your trip an hour and a half longer by going through Flagstaff, or the other option from Google is to take like 6.5 hours and you go straight across 10, and then you go
that's
up that way.
That's the way that I went to avoid the storm, and it's not nearly as long as they say. That's that night that I went to avoid the blizzard that was going on
up north
in northern Arizona. So I went that way, and it wasn't bad. It slows down a little when you get to
Parker, or no?
Bullhead City with the lake.
No, right, no, Bullhead City, right.
I don't know now.
Yeah, Bullhead.
There's an M, maybe?
Well, wait,
Lake Mead?
Lake Mead. Well, Lake Mead's the one that's backed up to Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
But I don't. There's going to be another one.
Another one?
Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu. So you get through that little town, and you hit
I knew it.
So it's not being a freeway, and you do like 10 miles of stoplights. So in the daytime, it probably would add another hour and a half. But I think the difference between that and the Wickenburg way was only like 25 minutes.
Oh. That's nice.
And it was actually lovely. It was like out in the middle of nowhere. But you do cross into California and then go north.
Then you go north, right.
So it's very strange.
Yeah.
So, but you actually see Laughlin, too, which was weird. Mm-hmm. I had never seen
I love Laughlin.
Yeah. But if there's weather, it's a way to get around bad weather.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm not going to be worrying about weather, so I don't have to worry about that. Yay! So there's that. And it's just a quick up and back. I'm back Friday afternoon. Work the weekend like normal. Then for those of you listening and care to know, we will not have a live show next Tuesday because I won't be here, Al won't be here, and I don't know where Kat will be, but she won't be here.
Well, not in this room, but maybe I'll sit at my own kitchen table and just talk. My table actually is similarly sized.
Tell a lot of these shows got started. Just
and Aaron
around.
Was not concerned for your safety. He was back being concerned for mine because that road, he knows that road up to Dodger Stadium, Aaron from L.A. And
oh, okay. I don't know the road, so I will...
Dodger Stadium really does sit on the hill, and Harrison lives like on that hill. She lives facing a different way, but like behind her, you can hear the baseball game. Well, she doesn't anymore. She moved.
She moved, right?
And she's moved, and her internet's not hooked up, so she will not be joining us in the chat room today.
Okay,
we'll miss her.
She'll get it. Well, she has 2 weeks until we're back on again, so we'll be fine.
Figure out her internet because again, Altadena, she lives up, you know.
She moved up.
It's all good. Literally.
Literally up. North or Norde or whatever the hell that word was earlier.
Nor.
Sorry. All right. 7:33 right now. So we're going to. We have nothing else to do, so we're going to
get. It's more effective if you wear fake eyelashes. I always try.
Let's do our headline segment, see if we can get through this. On a Tuesday night in Studio C with us three just kind of trudging along and praying for the best.
I feel like you're reading me the news. It's very exciting.
Aunt Jemima's looking for some big money.
Baby's Breaking Bad.
CD scratched? Well, call the police.
So long, Saturday morning.
Instead of a ticket, officer buys mom a car seat.
It's the one about the Minnesota mom.
Wrong motto engraved on library in stone.
Gay marriage, gay marriage, gay marriage.
And woman says she dug up dad's grave with full respect. These and other titillating stories coming right now on in headlines. Oh, my gosh. Well,
I want you to do that, the digging up dad's grave first, because that's just...
No, that's my ending story. We're going to end with a big...
Piece de resistance.
And I have pictures that I will flip around. Could you move your big gulp? I'm going to have to show you guys some pictures here in a minute.
Oh, my God,
that
sounded dirty.
I don't...
I needed the caffeine.
It's all right. Relatives of the woman who became Aunt Jemima are suing Pepsi and Quaker Oats for more than $2 billion, accusing those and other brands of denying that their great-grandmother was once a Quaker Oats employee. The Chicago Tribune reports that D.W. Hunter is filing a class-action lawsuit against Pepsi, Quaker Oats, Pinnacle Foods, and Hillshire Brands. Hunter is filing the suit on behalf of all the great-grandchildren of Anna Short Harrington, who took on the pre-existing character of Aunt Jemima back in 1935. And for those of you who don't know, this is one of the first incarnations of... Oh, hang on, I gotta take that off there, do that, and do this. Why did that... Hang on, hit the wrong thing. I hate when I hit the wrong thing. There we go. This is one of her first incarnations, and we all remember Aunt Jemima from that. She was like that. So then, somewhere, and I've forgotten where, they changed it, and she became this. They took the bandana off, and she became this character.
Oh, right, right, right.
I don't know why. And then for those of you who don't know what we're talking
about.
Racism?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what.
Really? That's
no. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, here it is. Aunt Jemima original pancake mix is what we're talking about. She is a character that has been schlepping pancakes for a hell of a long time. Hunter alleges that the companies conspired to deny that Harrington had been an employee of Quaker Oats, all the while exploiting her image and recipes for profit, while refusing to pay an equitable fair share of royalties to her heirs for more than 60 years. The defendants allegedly received a death certificate for Harrington that listed Quaker Oats as her employer, despite the company's reported denial of that employment. The suit, which was filed August 5th in Chicago, also alleges that Harrington was, quote, dissuaded from using a lawyer, exploiting her lack of education and age so that the company could not pay her a percentage of sales from her own recipes.
Sounds like Disney.
It does. In the statement to the Tribune, Quaker Oats did reference the lawsuit. People associate the Aunt Jemima brand with warmth, hospitality, and comfort, and we stand by this heritage as well as the ways in which we do business.
By not paying people.
For just exploiting them forever.
But at the same time, like, how is there not a statute of limitations on this kind of stuff? Like,
oh, there is. Disney will explain it to you.
Okay. Right. Every day. All day.
Because I'm about to go on Ancestry.com and just find some distant relatives and start suing for, I don't know what.
Right.
I'll just find it.
So I wonder, even if there's a statute of limitations, I wonder if they have anything to stand on from the standpoint of, let's say that, okay, so what they say, like, it's over 60 years that they've been using her image. Is there something, you know, let's say the statute of limitations is 30 years. I wonder if there's any way they could go back and say, okay, then you don't owe us 60 years of back money.
Yeah, but
you
retroactively.
Owe us 30 years of money.
And you guys remember Ellen Cleghorn from, she's on SNL for a season or two. She did a thing on, when they were, I can't remember if they were paying, like offering Japanese Americans reparations for
the
internment camps. And Ellen Cleghorn, who's a really funny black comedian that was on SNL, and she's like, I don't know what you're paying them for. She's like, what about me? She's like, you took my great-great-grandmother, slapped an apron on her, put her face on a fucking bottle of syrup. You're expecting her to go a whole different way about reparations, and she brought
me?
This up, and it's from the, I'm trying to find out when she was actually on, but I don't know, but one of the funniest little parts of SNL Weekend Update ever was her commentary on reparations and what they owed her for putting her great-great-grandmother on a bottle of syrup. And the minute you said it, I thought that was what you were leading. I had to hurry and Google Ellen Cleghorn.
No, but that's interesting that they're trying to get... I don't know what will become of that, and if there's any follow-up, we will let you know. But that's it about Aunt Jemima. But I am kind of hungry for pancakes now.
Yeah, I love pancakes.
There's that, yes.
Oh, my God. All right, Baby's Breaking Bad. Authorities say a 4-year-old girl in Delaware passed out packets of heroin she found in her mother's backpack to her daycare mates, thinking they contained candy. The Delaware State Police said in a news release that the girl found the bags Monday in a backpack her mom gave her to use after hers was ruined by a family pet. The pack contained 249 bags of heroin weighing 3.7 grams.
That a girl.
Daycare providers at the Hickory Tree Child Care Center in Selbyville called police when they noticed some children with the bags. The girl's mother is 30-year-old Ashley Tull of Selbyville. She faces charges of maintaining a drug property and endangering the welfare of children. A woman who answered a telephone number listed to Tull said she wasn't in and hung up.
Miss Tull, not in.
Not in.
You got called back. I think that was a generic enough of accent that no one can blame me of any kind of racism.
Are we aware she has an attorney at the time?
But she does have someone who answers her phone.
Right.
At press time, only a secretary could be found.
Oh, I'm assuming they got to these packets before these kids opened these packets.
Yeah, you know what?
I saw
the article about three times, and yeah, I think they caught it fairly immediately.
Can you imagine how horrible that would have turned
out?
Well, hey, have you seen Ray? You can get a lot done on heroin.
Well, that's very true. Lots of Grammys.
Grammy, exactly.
Right. Buy bigger and bigger and bigger houses. Fired managers. Lovely. They can do all kinds of stuff.
Oh. Anyway, every time I see the movie Ray, I'm like, this is kind of an endorsement for doing heroin and all you can get done in a day.
Yeah.
Like, you busy motherfucker.
You can stamp out all the Jim Crow laws in Georgia.
I was saying, even state song.
Right. Well,
everything ended happily for him.
They bring him back and the governor actually, you know, signs
a
decree.
I'm in a vein. I'm not getting enough done.
That's for damn
sure. Listen to these 76 new songs they wrote just today.
Jesus. Just mix it with light caffeine.
Look at all Oh, books I can sell. Books for you. Books for you. Books for you. Books for you.
It's heroin and blonde roast. I don't want to go too far.
Tall, not venti.
Something mild, right? Exactly.
Just a hint of uppers. You'll be fine. Well, I think this woman may have been on something like heroin. Don't call 911 unless there's a real emergency. We all know this is that. And that's the message authorities are sending to 43-year-old Shayla Hedge, who they say has called the Glastonbury police 162 times since 2007, and that's including 24 times just in 2014.
I haven't made 127 calls
ever
in total since 2007.
In the 11 years that I've had Verizon Wireless.
I got a cell phone specifically to not call you.
Yeah. According to the police department, Hedge's calls were mostly unfounded complaints. Once she called to complain that her CDs were scratched, and another time she alleged her phone was being monitored. Police say that they warned
her. Why not? You keep calling us.
Police say they warned
her. Stop monitoring you. Stop calling us.
We don't answer if you don't call. Not in. She's not in.
I feel like this is a bad reenactment of Pretty Woman right now.
Police say they warned her multiple times to stop calling about these non-emergencies, but she just simply didn't listen. Hedge was arrested and charged with misuse of the 911 system and falsely reporting of an incident. She appeared in court late last month and is due back before a judge October 10th, according to online court records. It is not clear if Hedge has an attorney at this time. But she's trying to call him.
She just needs friends.
And the mugshot they showed him, which I forgot to get.
Oh, I love the mugshot.
I forgot to get the mugshot. She's just happy as hell.
Happy as Larry.
Yeah, she's just happy.
Is there any heroin involved?
I know.
She Does she know the kids in Shelby?
She had not stopped by a daycare, so I don't think he didn't say anything about that.
I'm going to go through kids' backpacks till I find some heroin.
Suck by some highlight.
I'm going to start calling you guys and just, like, psycho dialing and then just be like, hi, and then I'll hang up.
Stop answering. Stop calling. I mean, it's easy.
Oh, in the new iPhone 6, you actually have a do not disturb on individual people, so I can block you from calling. I love that new feature.
Well, I have that same feature, but it's with everyone.
Yours is just...
It's called the power
button. Not today, Berta.
Not today, Berta. Every dog has its day. It's not looking good for you today.
Well, I know you guys are on top of this story. Did you know that this last weekend was the final hurrah for Saturday morning cartoons after dominating weekend kids programming since the 60s?
I don't understand this story. You told me about this, but I want you to explain this because I can't imagine.
She might actually read aloud from.
I'm going to read what these fine people have said.
And you might not interrupt her.
That's not true.
Totally optional.
Okay.
We'll redirect.
All right.
The CW became the final network to cut cartoons from their Saturday morning lineup last Saturday, replacing their programming block called The Vortex with 5 hours of family-oriented, non-animated television called One Magnificent Morning. Though cartoons dominated the morning time slots from the 1960s to the 80s, sometimes bringing in more than 20 million viewers, it all began to change when NBC swapped cartoons for teen comedies like Saved by the Bell in 1992. ABS and CBS soon followed, and in 2008, Fox ended their cartoon run for infomercials. By 2003, cartoons were bringing in just 2 million viewers, a huge drop from 20 years before. The Post wrote that the 90s also saw a shift in the type of television geared towards kids. Thanks to the FCC's rule requiring broadcast but not cable networks to offer at least 3 hours of educational programming a week between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. The rule also limited kid-centered advertising during children's TV programs, which made cartoons less profitable for networks.
She couldn't sell them, like,
yeah,
Jolt Cola and heroin.
Well, right. Seriously, because when I was a kid, like, every other commercial, you know what I mean? Like, you watch TV to see the cartoons and then all the crap that you wanted for Christmas. Like,
oh,
I sat there with... Like notepad,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Saturday morning cartoons. Like,
call my lawyer. I want that too. Yeah.
But besides that, access to hundreds of channels plus DVDs, Hulu, and Netflix made getting a cartoon fix less imminent for kids. Like, cartoons are everywhere. My kids watch them around the clock.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it used to be the only time you got to see cartoons was Saturday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then Mom would get up and make pancakes and say, stop watching that fucking television and turn it off and go outside.
Eat some of these these racially repressed Aunt Jemima pancakes.
But kids, they now have access to cartoons whenever they want them, whether it's on the living room floor on Saturday morning or under the covers at 11 p.m.
An Adult Swim is so enjoyable. They have some of those fucked up cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Kids that are cartoon age,
mm-hmm,
have an iPad with Netflix.
Yeah, right.
But they just, like,
right,
continue watching whatever show they were.
Sure.
Like, there's no wait till next week. There's no same bat time, same bat channel. It just,
And I honestly, like, if you told me I could sit down and watch, like, a day of, like, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Duck Rogers.
The original Looney Tunes.
Yeah, all those. Oh, I'd be happy. And Super Friends. Because I used to love the fucking Super Friends. Or what was it called? Justice League? Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're one of each.
Yeah. Okay. I loved it.
One's
Wonder
DC
Twins.
And one's Marvel.
Right. I love the Wonder Twins one.
Yeah.
I saw a porn like that once, but I'm not sure what that was about.
thank you, Aaron. I just clicked on the link for the delightfully happy woman.
That mugshot of that woman.
I would take a phone call for her. She looks fun.
Show Kat this lovely one. That's her mugshot from the 911 call.
She does
look happy. My CDs are scratched.
I love her.
Quit calling us, bitch.
So, yeah, add this to the list of shit that kids today will never understand.
But the way that you said it earlier, well, I thought it seems like it's only
it's network television,
the big networks, not cable.
No, well, I don't know that the CW is a big network, but yeah, cartoon channel.
Because NBC still has stuff in the morning. They still have some animated stuff, but I think what happens is it gets bumped easily if something else is coming on, like, you know, whatever. Oh,
anything.
Wait, Mario Lopez is in something? Stand by.
It's called Saved by the Bell.
Oh, it's the Chica show.
1992.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's involved with
something. We covered that two paragraphs up.
Oh,
I'll read it again. It all began to change when NBC swapped cartoons for teen comedies like Saved by the Bell.
And that show was awful.
Oh, no, I got
awful,
that. But
starring Mario Lopez.
No, there's a new one.
I've seen every episode.
There's a new one called the Chica show, and Mario Lopez is involved in it, and there's apparently puppets. I'm not sure what else.
Is he Principal Belding now?
No, he's not. I'm not sure. But he's in it.
I'm a 90s child.
Saved by the Bell has what I like to call, like, the acting is so bad that even the extras are bad acting. Like, you can see it, like, potato, potato, potato. Like just bad from just head to toe.
No. All you have to do is walk across the stage, and they couldn't even do that.
Oh, no.
I'm totally the right age to have loved it and seen every episode, and I was traumatized by the Jesse Caffeine Pills episode. Like, yeah.
Oh.
I remember those.
Sad.
I was happy to watch that whole show.
I'm so scared.
Only because of Mario Lopez.
Caffeine pills. That was their big drug episode.
Yeah, oh my God, it's horrible. Mr. Belding, she's awake forever. I don't know why. Is that the end of your card?
That's the end of my story.
That's one of those things where you had to, like, take it completely, like, you had to just knock it off the list. Like, the very special episode where someone had a drink. We used to take hits of Jack Daniels in our locker. Like, we were all A students. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we were on the honor roll using conduct. Don't get me wrong. Don will back me up on this. Like, I had unsatisfactory conduct in every class I ever went to. Because I was
still
a terrorist. But drunks don't. A's all the time. Right. And then you watch this show. Is that a caffeine pill? I'm sorry. I was a freshman in college. I had papers to write. You know how I did it? Caffeine pills.
Right. No
dose. I didn't start 2 weeks before. I started the night before it was due.
Right.
And had to take six no-dos.
Six no-dos, a Jolt Cola, and Cheetos. Got this.
We won't talk about the Cheetos.
Yeah. That paper didn't have a period in it. 2,000 words, no period, no punctuation. Just read it.
Read it now. Enjoy it. Get back to me. And that was when you had to write it longhand because unless you had a typewriter because there were no word processors.
Right. I always had to pay somebody to type my papers.
Oh.
Always.
And wow.
My friend Michelle Brown, always. Even after she graduated, was in college doing her own shit, she still had to type up my last couple high school papers.
Brutal.
And I would always find her, do you want to share some no-dos with me? Because I'll write it longhand while you type it, or I can just say it really fast while you type really fast.
This will be our feel-good story of the evening. A Michigan officer who pulled over a vehicle because a 5-year-old girl was not secured in a booster seat decided that a ticket really wouldn't cut it. Instead, Emmett Township Public Safety Officer Ben Hall bought the woman an infant car seat. A ticket doesn't solve the situation. Hall told WXMI-TV, what solves it is the child being in the booster seat like she should be, and it was the easiest $50 that I ever spent. Hall was on patrol Friday in the southern Michigan community when he pulled over the vehicle after someone reported that it had an unsecured young child inside. Just probably just bouncing around the inside of the car,
yeah,
I guess.
Like you do.
Alexis DiLorenzo and her daughter were riding with a friend, and Hall said DiLorenzo told him that she had fallen on hard times and could not afford the booster seat. I was in a spot where I could help her, Hall said, so I did. DiLorenzo said that she knew that they could have been ticketed, but instead DiLorenzo told her to meet him at the Walmart where he bought her the car seat. She said it changed my life. I'm never going to forget him, and neither Well, my daughter. So that's our feel-good story of the week.
So she'll be alive to see five.
Yeah. Yes.
That is nice. It's nice to hear cops about cops doing good things. Because
there's plenty of news about cops not doing good things.
Shitty things.
Yeah, the few cops that are shitty getting the bulk of the press is not really the way to go.
Right. And in fairness, the bulk of all cops are all good. It's just the assholes who make the headlines.
Yeah.
Which is the case in all people.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, most people don't give a shit about your problem. Most people aren't the asshole that you see on TV.
And all the good stories don't make headlines. Nobody.
Right. And they certainly didn't, you know, solve any crimes in my neighborhood, but they did send their hottest members to come and chat with me after each crime was committed. So I appreciated that.
That's true. Fine. There were a couple.
Since you have no intention of solving these crimes, at least send your hottest members.
There was a couple hotties. I was at their house. I remember
that. Please send your most calendar-worthy to chat with me.
That's so nice.
Would you like to arrest me, officer?
Especially the one that ripped the prints out of the other guy, like something that had an actual, like, perpetrator print on it. It just picked it up and said, well, why would you hold on to this? We're like, well, it had prints on it, so you just touched it, but thanks.
Huh. Nice to
like,
done.
Oh, I'm like, well, you're cute, so we're... I didn't think those prints were going to lead anywhere.
You just touch his head and be like, you're pretty.
You're pretty.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't be on this kind of patrol, but anyway.
Well, I didn't know I needed a feel-good story, so back to Denver.
No, you don't have to. I just stumbled upon it, and I thought it was a good story.
Call a bitch.
2 weeks.
When we become a feel-good show, can you give me a heads up?
Well, we managed to make fun of it, so we're good.
I'm starting to like this wine.
Yeah. Keep drinking it.
It's mischievous. Mahia. Oh. It's an old vine Zinfandel from Lodi, California.
Mm.
It was recommended me by, recommended me. To me.
Wow.
To me. User, yeah.
It recommended me.
Recommend me. By our friends at Total Wine.
Oh, Total Wine. And more.
This is from the 8 a.m. waiting for the doors to open.
Oh, right.
Or 9 a.m.
Open, 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 open. And you see them right there. Open, open. Kat Carlson.
The case against a Minnesota mother accused of treating her son with medicinal cannabis.
And a stutter.
He used to not have a stutter, but now he does.
Appears headed to trial.
Let's do the rest of the show as Porky Pig. Read the print.
Tell me when this gets old.
Already.
The case against a Minnesota mother accused of treating her son with medicinal cannabis appears headed to trial after the defense rejected a settlement offer on Monday. Angela Brown of Madison is charged with two gross misdemeanors, endangering a child, permitting to be present when possessing a controlled substance, and that didn't make any sense. Okay, I don't even need to read the thing. Yeah. this is all over...
Seizures, right?
Yeah, this is the seizure thing. This is... I'm just going to do this organically.
Yeah.
This is all
just
over...
Just like cannabis.
Yeah. All over, like, all the talk radio and talk television, and why should we be any different? Because this mom lives in Minnesota where pot is not legal, and her son has a seizure condition and has 50 seizures in an hour. Like, it's a big deal, and it's painful for her son. And so this has been kind of, like, whispering around for a little while now. Is this, like, liquid THC something from
extract,
the hemp plant?
Right.
Yeah, this extract. It's not handing the kid a joint. It's not handing the kid a bong. It's a liquid extract.
An elixir, if you will.
Yeah. And they'll put it in edibles or a gummy or something like that. And it all but cured this kid.
Right.
Okay, so she, like, finds out about it, does her research like a good mom. She goes to Colorado. She buys it. She brings it back. Works. Hallelujah.
Right.
So then she tells her friend, like you do, you know what I mean? Like you have peers.
Like how come your kid's not seizing in the corner?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You'll never believe what we just did for Jimmy. It's a goddamn miracle. You have to know. Like, this is something that you share with your friends. She told a friend who called the cops.
Nice friend.
Yeah. Hunt.
Nice friend.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, the cops come over and they find the extract or whatever it was, and they fucking arrest her.
Yeah, that's just people being shitty to be shitty. From the woman who was allegedly her friend, right up to the cops. Like, go through a doctor,
like,
get some information.
Let's turn a blind eye or something.
Yeah,
Seriously.
That's just shitty people doing shitty things.
She's not dealing, she's not making any money, she's not doing anything, she flew out of her way, there's a waiting list. Apparently, like, these guys that produce this, there's a waiting list for this, like, internationally.
Mm-hmm.
That people, like, get on the list, and when they have enough and they've grown enough, because, you know, what they're doing is still illegal. So, you know, when they have enough of whatever it is, like, the next person on the list flies into town, gets what they need, and off they go.
And this is the thing in Mesa, where everyone in the headline on talk radio was like, 5-year-old is given pot. No. 5-year-old with a seizure disorder is given medicine that seems to be helping, and they try, and that fucking radio station that drives me crazy that's on, that 92.3, they were the ones that were just ripping this woman apart. And I'm like, you're just being dicks to be dicks. Like, you're just two white guys with your dicks in your hands just being assholes.
That's exactly
for no
what they should call that
fucking
show.
Reason. Yeah. Two assholes with dicks in
their
hands.
I'm going to write a letter and suggest that to them.
This story about 2 years ago, I heard same story, but the one I heard of was in California, and there was a mother, same situation, child was having issues, and it almost sounds identical to this, but the guy,
it happened in Mesa, it's like the same thing.
Yeah, it pops up a little bit at a time, and you're right, it has been popping up for a couple of years.
The story that I saw, we're focusing on a guy who was, his whole thing was helping to get the med to the people.
Sure.
And he was, he would go and he would secure it and find it, and then he would transport it and show up at these houses because I guess the mom with the child couldn't travel or whatever the situation was.
But I can't even imagine trying to travel with a seizing child.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but that's interesting. And that's current. This is right now, right?
This is right now, yeah. She's in court, and it's, according to this, which was posted just a day or two ago, looks like she's going to trial. So it'll be something to follow.
So someone's giving her child a medicine that works to trial. I mean, this is the level of shittiness we're reaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over a drug that all three of the last presidents have admitted to doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like the president,
and about every pop star currently in the world admits to,
and like everyone at what was the last award show that I was bitching about? People making pot jokes,
Grammys, Emmys,
BET Awards.
I can't remember what it was.
MTV.
It was the Grammys.
Was it the Grammys?
It was just the Grammys where everyone was making jokes about pot smoking.
Pot jokes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, here's this woman on trial for something that people are on TV openly admitting they're doing, and she's helping her child
because she gave a drop of an extract to her child.
Right.
To cure his seizures.
Right. So why is it, and you can buy...
This is one of those things where the judge just rings the gavel and says, fuck you to all of them.
God, I hope so.
Right. And explain, what's the difference, because I'm just ignorant about this. Mm-hmm. So you can do hemp extract, like there's hemp rope, and there's hemp that...
But hemp has just gotten a bad rap, but you can't do anything with hemp.
No, that's what I'm asking. I don't know what the difference is. Whatever the extract that they're doing, which is the THC...
Is THC. THC comes from cannabis.
Okay.
Right. Hemp is one of those things that just keeps getting lumped in with marijuana.
Oh, and
it's
part of the culture.
Yeah. Oh.
There is no...
Got it. I didn't realize that.
It's paraphernalia.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. Yeah. I thought that...
You'll still get charged with it. If you've got the right amount of hemp products and what you're doing with them, it's paraphernalia.
But it's not. There's no weed in hemp.
There used to be a tanning lotion that had a pot leaf on the cover, and it was hemp.
And people call it a
hand lotion. There's a hemp. There's a hemp. The hemp is a brand of.
Let me do some light research stuff.
I'm just curious.
As far as I know, that's one of Woody Harrelson's things. Is that hemp is very. It's very reusable. It's a very recyclable product, and it can be a very it's very sustainable. But people that farm hemp,
I think it's a byproduct.
The Doobie Buyers Club is what Molly put up there.
I'm actually just making that shit up as I go, though.
Oh, well, we do a lot of that.
We'll learn. No actual knowledge is involved.
We'll try very hard to not do that.
I'm googling. You continue with your headline.
I'll tell you what we'll do.
That's the end of that headline anyway.
We'll do this, and then they can do a little Googling, and then we'll come back and learn more about the differences of products that you can and can't keep on you, and apparently you can't give to your child to make them better. It's the show on Q Talk America. Coming up, this is the end of hour one. We have 2 hours to go yet. Coming back in just mere moments with Val Perkins, who's going to give us our drinking word. We continue on with some headlines. And then Al's got entertainment coming up. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Like I said, 2 more hours of fun-filled time right here with the three of us in Studio C on this week's episode of the show on Q Talk America. We'll be back right after this. Stick around, won't you?
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, A man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again, everybody. Special hello going out to whoever is listening from Singapore. I see you are in the mix of people listening live right now. If you can,
hello, Singapore.
Join us in the chat room. Let us know what you're doing, how you found us, and well, more about you, because we don't know anything about you, Mr. or Mrs. Singapore, however you self-identify.
Sir or ma'am.
Yes, this is the show on Q Talk America. We are in Studio C, only three of us this week. It's Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and myself. Thank you for being with us. It's the beginning of hour two. We've got 2 hours to go, because that's how we roll. 3 hours, 7 to 10, 7 to 10, 7 to 10, every Tuesday night. We start hour two off with this little ditty because, well, it's what keeps us sane and legal. So, disclaimer.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Molly, that's funny. Molly says, hi, Singapore. I love your slings in the chat room.
Well, you have me.
Whoops. Sorry about that. I forgot to deselect him. All right, Al Perkins, what is our word this week?
Well, it comes to us from Margie, who's on her way. She's on some fucking highway through the middle of America. Argy bargy. It has something to do with, it's either argy bargy or argy bargy. I'm not sure, but I'm sure we'll fuck it up and say it either way.
Okay. Argy bargy.
Argy bargy. And it has to do with Anton Scalia's rambling rant about gay marriage in America.
Oh.
So when you get to as I'm being the head researcher on the show tonight,
yeah.
I will I'll look up his actual quote as to what he said about his
I'd like to know
marriage.
Actual spelling of this.
It's ARGYBARGY, right?
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Replace the I's for L's.
Okay.
Argle bargle.
Argle bargle.
Oh.
Spell please.
Okay,
ARGLE hyphen.
Oh, hyphen.
B-A-R-G-L-E. Argle bargle.
Is it argle bargle? Is it like a, you know, a bunch of hullabaloo, or is it a bunch of
yeah, it's like a long discussion. Oh, argle bargle. Those are L's.
Oh, well. Argle bargle. That's a drinking word for boys.
But in her pronunciation, she put argy bargy.
She's probably texting and driving.
Listen, Margie.
Calm down there, Rhoda.
So Rhoda, however we can get that in there, but I'm sure we'll say it a lot when Scalia's name comes up. But so hemp is a commonly used term for high-growing varieties of the cannabis plant and its products, which include fiber, oil, and seed. It's refined in products such as hemp seed foods, hemp oil, wax, resin, rope, cloth, pulp, paper, and fuel. Other variants of the herb cannabis sativa are widely used as a drug commonly known as marijuana.
Yeah.
I don't know how my pronunciation is on that word.
Magnificent.
These variants are typically low growing and have higher content of THC. So your high plants are your hemp. Your low ones are your good ones. The legality of cannabis varies widely from country to country and from state to state. In many countries, regulatory limits for concentrations of the psychotropic drug of THC require use of strains of plants which are bred for low content. And that was the big thing about if we breed these plants to have the low THC and we're just growing hemp, it's a very sustainable crop.
Sure.
And it should be used. And since it can be used for paper, we can avoid cutting down trees and it has a faster growing cycle. So Woody Harrelson is a big advocate for hemp.
Got it.
And if you remember, he was terrible on it, but when he was on Will and Grace for that season as Grace's boyfriend, and when Karen first meets him, she's like, who's the hot guy that smells like rope that just rode the elevator with me? So many little digs about how stoned he was. And it was the Emmy Awards where they were all joking about Woody Harrelson and
Matthew McConaughey.
And Matthew McConaughey and all the pot smoking. And I'm like, I brought it up after the show. It's really not fair that this woman is going on trial for giving a medicine to her child
right.
while celebrities are on TV joking about their abuse.
Well, and you've always talked about, what do you call the laws in New York?
The Rockefeller laws.
All the people who are doing time in a prison because they had a joint on them.
Right.
And now we're adding mom, six kids.
Right. Yeah, any amount gets you on. But the New York Times, interestingly, is doing a thing. It's like a six or seven state push, I read about it today, where they are advocating for New York State making recreational use legal, and they're doing op-ed pieces. They're bringing their op-eds to major city newspapers across the country. They're using Washington, Colorado, and D.C. as examples of, like, this is the way to treat people.
It's
like,
working,
stop
right.
doing this as a crime. You're harming families. You're splitting people up. You're disenfranchising people. It's disproportionately affecting minorities. You're fucking this up. Stop yeah. now. Legalize
what?
It.
Not to mention, allegedly, there's money to be made.
Right, right. Which,
let's talk to Colorado
which is
about
how, which is how Republicans are getting on board. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these people of this, like, Gestapo state of, like, everyone, and it's just a way to get black people in jail. There's absolutely no two ways around it, because once you have a felony, you can't vote. That's the whole point of the Rockefeller laws.
Right.
If it's a felony crime, then you are disenfranchised and can no longer vote. That is the whole point to marijuana laws. There's just as many white people doing it. They just don't pull over white people for it. And that's the point, is that they can. It's an easy way to get someone in jail, give them a felony, and take away their right to vote.
That's just bullshit.
Right, because that
simple and true.
The new stop and frisk in New York City that's getting so much thing, they're disproportionately pulling over minorities, but they're pulling over so few white people. But when they do, the number of drugs that they find and the number of guns that they find is so disproportionately the other
astronomical.
Way.
Astronomical.
Yeah, like they're pulling over like 90% black people, but finding like 95% guns and drugs on the white people.
Yeah.
Like it's just a level that makes no sense.
I saw an infographic on.
And again, the last three presidents, pot
yeah.
smokers.
Right.
Like it's kind of done as is. It's kind of a moot point.
Yeah,
which is the opinion of a cow, according to Joanne Friends.
Moot
point.
Yeah. The point is moot. Yeah, I saw an infographic just this week on gun crimes. A little bit, like, kind of skewed the same way as the marijuana things. Like, the people actually committing all the gun crimes, not all of them, but a fair amount of them, most of them are either are intraracial, but the news spends all their time focusing on the interracial. So it's always, like, either white people shooting white people or black people shooting black people, but there's, like, this skew. And it's, like, the white people, there's so many of them, and you never hear about any of it, doing, you know, all of these crimes, like the marijuana crimes, the gun crimes. Like, you don't hear about all of them. But every night on the news, there's some black guy shot a white guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Five other white guys did it, too, but we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have in the argy-bargy... Well, Argle Bargle. According to Argy Bargy is the British pronunciation, but and this is Drew telling us, but Merriam-Webster online pronounces as it looks. And Don says that the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp, and I'm fairly sure that that's true.
Wow, that's a trip. If that,
yeah.
If, wow.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that I've read that before.
It's the third thing that comes up when you start to Google search Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence. Hemp. Yeah.
And my guess is they were just trying to keep people from rolling it up and smoking the Declaration. Hey, we just wrote this. Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Well, that's the whole point of hemp is it's useless to smoke it because there's no THC. THC is the thing that makes you
got
high
it.
That makes it fun.
Right. But they have produced.
But it's the same plant.
They have produced lower strains, just kind of like you get a mini poodle. You know what I mean? Same idea.
Okay.
Same
Argle Bargle.
Same Argle Bargle.
Same Argy Bargy.
Argy Bargy. I like that one better. Argy Bargy.
You gotta say it drunk, though.
I believe the story is your story. Next, Kat, or am I
yeah,
wrong?
I don't know how we got here.
I started the Minnesota Mom. That was the
yeah.
Oh, so then it's back to me. Well, here's the story that I don't know if I'm going to be able to pronounce all of these words, but we'll get to it.
Argle Bargle.
Moorestown, New Jersey. The Latin motto engraved on the wall of the new library in southern New Jersey apparently got lost in translation. Officials had thought that the phrase, Nos Segundus Caniesto Omnia, meant that we confirm all things twice, but actually it means we second guess all.
Oh, that's good times.
So, Moorestown architect Rick Reagan tells the Burlington County Times that he learned of the problem from residents who translated it online on their own time.
Fucking foreigners. They just mind their own business.
Reagan says that he will pay a stonecutter to change the phrase to "we encourage all." He also will have the Roman numerals fixed to reflect the proper year of the building's construction. What illiterate idiot did this? Mayor Chris Chiacco tells the newspaper...
I'm just having fun listening to you pronounce
it. A mistake is only a mistake if you do not have the courage to correct it. So I just think that's funny that they build the architect, they submit all this, they build it, and then they engrave the wrong phrase. They engrave the... We confirm all things twice, which actually...
We second guess everything. We don't have a fucking clue.
And we're suspicious.
I think we should maybe just leave it that we second guess all of it. Yeah. Why? Because you have to research it. You have to second guess.
I don't trust you.
Can I get a second opinion, please? We second guess all.
Google that.
Google that. Argy bargy.
Back
to you, Kat.
That put me in Tennessee. Oh, no, I got something to say.
Uh-oh.
Now, you know that Roman numerals are, like, just the downfall of a nation. That most of the time, and I can't remember, the Super Bowl uses them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this coming up one is the first one that they have it.
Right, because they found out in the 30th year that they thought it meant Super Bowl XXX. And people were expecting a different experience.
A different bowl.
I mean, I might go to that.
Just hysterical. And that the...
I didn't realize that was the reasoning behind changing that.
I think the last one was X... What are we on? Is it 50 this year? Is this year 50? This year is something special.
Well, if it was XXX, it would have been 30.
No, but that was the one that... We had the 30th one here.
Okay.
And that was the year that they realized that people didn't understand Roman numerals. So last year's was a clusterfuck of what people thought it meant. And they actually started asking people going into the stands what that meant.
Oh.
And what's this year? Is it 50?
I don't know. Whatever XLIX is.
I have to look at the XL. So that's 49. So it's Super Bowl 49. And they thought it was like X-licks. Extra large. Right. It looked like X-Lix. And they were like, they asked everybody what they thought. They thought it was a corporate sponsor. Okay, yeah, and they're worried because next year 50 is, I think 50 is an L.
I don't know.
God damn it. 50, C is 100.
Right.
C is 100, X is 10. I can't remember what 50 is.
Stand by.
Is it a V? No, V is 5.
50 is... L.
Allegedly L, yeah, because you put the subtraction on the
front. So 49 should be IL. 49 should actually be IL. It should be one less than 50.
Hang on.
Yeah, it should be IL. And they just could not do it. And they realized that Americans have no idea what Roman numerals are.
I actually understood them at one point, and I'm like, okay, because you start at the largest Roman numeral, and then on... I think it's the front is subtracting and the back
is adding.
Yes. Right.
IL would be 49. That would be one less than 50. And LI would
then
be 51.
Then why is 49 XLIX?
I'm going to put this in the chat room.
XLIX would make it
XLIX.
10 would be 10 less than 50 XL.
10 less than 50 plus 9.
Yeah.
I just put a link in the chat room
it
for those of you that
That's not
care.
Right.
There is an entire page that gives you the Roman numerals 1 through 100. For example, 63 is LXIII. Al's age is LXVII.
Oh.
Well, that would be 67. You're not. That's my mom. So she'd be LXVII, and I would be XLV. Yeah, that's interesting.
I'd like to start a movement.
But Super Bowl 88 is LXXXVII. The billboards are
because
huge.
Because when smaller numerals are in front of bigger numerals, you subtract. So to get to 49, they subtract 10, add 50, subtract 1, add 10.
It makes no sense. It should be... It
makes perfect sense. I got it.
Yeah, but it should be IL.
I'll have another drink.
But again, they're having to fuck it up. So when they get to 50 and it's just L, it's like Super Bowl L... People be like, huh?
Fat people Super Bowl.
And it really is funny. And they started to realize the problem in Arizona with Super Bowl 30 when people thought
I didn't realize that. I remember it being here.
It's really fun.
Because isn't that the one that Diana Ross was in the helicopter?
Yeah.
Got it.
Huh? That's the one that we were all... I worked at the sports bar on South Mountain when it used to be the Point South Mountain. And we were up on the fourth floor, like overlooking the city. It was ahead of, it still has a beautiful view, whatever it's called now. Mm. At South Mountain Resort. And it actually looks directly at Sun Devil Stadium. So we're like all sitting there, we're watching like the Air Force pilots fly over, because it was like the 20th, it was the 10th anniversary of the shuttle disaster.
Oh.
So the first space shuttle. So they had done a flyby with the missing man formation, and they flew in Diana Ross, and we're all watching the TV, and one of the, not one of the people that worked there, but a guest at the hotel was like, you know, you can see it out your window, right? Like, you could just turn around and watch that happen. And we're like, oh, yes, we can. Tempe Stadium's right behind us. And it was just surreal to be watching something on, like, a screen and realize that it was happening
right over our heads.
Yeah.
Very. It's like turning on the Weather Channel to find out if it's raining.
Yes. Is it raining outside currently?
I don't know. Turn on the Weather Channel.
I don't want to look at
it. But I don't like to open my blinds, so sometimes I do look at the weather to find out what's going to greet me. I do want some
so
warning.
You do it from your phone all the time. You love that phone app.
I do, because it has stars.
Starry, starry night.
All right, so I think we got a lot of mileage out of both of those.
Holy crap. Gay marriage, gay marriage, gay marriage.
Oh, this just in.
Everybody's getting married coming soon.
And we're ruining marriage for everybody. Everybody's marriage is going to hell because the gays cannot get married.
Thank God.
I need to get a certification in counseling.
Okay. You can do it online.
Gay marriage counseling is going to become a thing real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, everybody probably already knows that on Monday, the Supreme Court decided which cases they were not going to take and made an announcement, and they did it very, like, nonchalantly. Like, it was on a pile. The gay marriage cases were on a pile with, like, 80 other cases that they were like, nope, these are the no's, and shoved them out the door. With no comment, no opinion, no nothing, the Supreme Court just went, nope, these are on the no pile. But what that legally and effectively does is that makes the circuit court's rulings stand.
Right.
So on Monday, it was the 4th, the 6th, and the 7th circuit court that had already ruled on the constitutionality of gay marriage bans.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, bam, all of those states, Oprah's on the steps, you get gay marriage, and you get gay marriage, and you get gay marriage. So then today...
Oh, today.
Today.
The Ninth Circuit Court.
And it's so funny because I had the oldest at gymnastics today and, like, overheard someone talking about this. And I couldn't help it. I was like, let me tell you. And I went on, like, a 45-minute rant in the parent room at, like, the gymnastics place.
They're still in recovery.
No, I made Facebook friends and may have gained us more listeners.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. You were just bringing people right and left, whether they want to or not.
Trying to be valuable over here.
She's going to get that free toaster.
Oh, good. I'll just give you the money out of the kitchen.
All right, fine. Mine's crappy.
I'm out of Pop-Tarts.
I can't find a use for it now.
So today, the Ninth Circuit Court ruled on the Nevada and Idaho cases that were before it. And ruled based on the other Ninth Circuit courts. Exactly. Like, all those gay marriage bans out. So guess what state also falls in the Ninth Circuit?
Arizona!
Arizona! I know I have a very touchy subject in front of me at home.
Meaning with the kids? Or...
No, it's a like a long-standing shtick that I have, because Sharon's been married in the past. And
oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
And she's very enthustic and gung-ho to get married, Should it ever become legal?
And up to, like, now, you've got, like, well...
I've been like, oh, not happening. I'm thinking, I know.
You're home free on that one.
And it's become a shtick at this point.
Okay,
you know,
got it.
Where I'm like, yeah, it's worked out so well for you in the past.
Yeah.
Oh,
but yeah,
you went that route.
I did. Yeah.
Wow, class act.
Because I'm classy.
Yeah. Former mayor of Tempe, Neil Giuliano, just literally right now, or no, excuse me, my bad, 3 hours ago, posted on Facebook.
Which is like just now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it just popped up.
If you're
up.
Listening tomorrow, you don't know the difference.
And who cares? So then came Arizona. Thank you, Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. For those of you who care, yes. Neil Giuliano was the first openly out gay mayor of Tempe, Arizona.
Or of a major city.
My bad. You're right.
Yeah, so it's really all done but the paperwork.
So doesn't it come down in Arizona? Doesn't it come down to the Attorney General who is...
Arizona still has the right to appeal and could appeal to the Ninth Circuit. Could.
Yeah,
Cut-Face Kathy Herod will try.
And the states that are in the Ninth District but didn't have a case pending, like Arizona,
right,
will make the decision whether or not to... Do we fight this? Do we just give up and lay down and just say, fucking do it?
And for the most part, it's not this, not for the most part, but there's a lot of places where it's not the state actually fighting the fight. It's outside money fighting on behalf of the state.
Which they've already learned because that's what Prop 8 was, because right. Jerry Brown and the Attorney General of California wouldn't take right. the case. So that's what they said about Prop 8.
And they took that all
you have no
Supreme
dog
Court
in this
now.
Fight. You know, we thought they would rule, okay, you can't take away rights that you've given to someone. Mm-hmm. And we thought they would throw out the older woman's case fighting for her spousal benefits. That's how we all thought that would go.
Mm-hmm.
That they would be like, well, this is an easy one. You already said yes to gay marriage. You already approved it. You can't vote to take away someone's rights. But instead, they struck it down. They literally, like...
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I'm calling this. What are we talking about?
Gay marriage. Gay marriage. And Pop-Tarts. Ooh, can we do the both?
So
I'm thinking of a theme for my
so
wedding.
This, so this
Pop-Tarts
is the thing
and homos.
I now remember. So there was no plaintiff. So they said to California, we're not going to hear this case because you don't have a dog in the hunt. You're not representing the state of California. You're not representing an injured party. You have no dog in this hunt. We don't have to take your case. Like, we listen to you, but who are you representing? Straight people? Are straight people suffering? Is there someone
dying because of
with a loss of rights? And that's why they threw out that one and sent it back down to California's ruling. Well, now they have California has their own state ruling and they have their district court,
right?
The Ninth Circuit saying, uh-uh. So now if right. Arizona will send somebody. Arizona, actually, we don't know because
she went
into hiding. What's her butt? The Wicked Witch of the West went into hiding. She hasn't been heard
from. Oh, Brewer?
She could possibly be dead.
We don't give a shit.
She has not made, like, a public appearance or a public statement on anything.
Because she's got nothing to do. She's a lame duck, and she's just, who gives a shit?
No, but, like, after SB 1070, like, or not SB 1070, after the gay, the, protect our business, we want to make a case for straight people.
Oh, that's that fight, yeah. Open for business.
Yeah,
after that fight,
silent.
I remember we talked about political theater in the toilet. They undercut her and fucked her over.
No.
I don't know if you remember us talking about that, but they were done. They shell-shocked her when she was out of town and passed a bill.
Right.
They rushed it through and handed it to her and put her on the national spotlight to be either
a fucking bitch
or anti-Republican values. And they put her in a spot where she has been in hiding since, and she has not made – she's just not around.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see – if she takes it up, because she and the Attorney General actually have to go in support of Arizona's laws and defend it, or they can just say, like,
well, from
New York did, California did, we have no interest.
From what I understand, from what I've read all afternoon, right now we're waiting on Judge Sedgwick, who has the current Arizona gay marriage cases. He was expected to rule on one of them this week, and one of them they had till later, in November.
Isn't this the same judge that remember the elderly couple that they were fighting for their marriage?
This
He's
is
the same
this,
judge,
this
right?
This is the same judge that said, okay, this one instance you have to recognize their marriage.
There was death benefits involved and something.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he put out the injunction and said, yes, you have to honor their marriage. And, you know, so that made everybody that's watching go, okay, this guy's, he's kind of leaning this way, and we're feeling really hopeful about it, and we're just, you know, waiting. He was expected already to rule at some point in the next week or two on one of the two cases. So right now, what we're doing and what we're waiting on the gay side of whatever, I can't tell if it's the plaintiffs or the defense. I guess it'd be the plaintiffs. But the gay side has made the motion to Sedgwick's court based on the Ninth Circuit's ruling to dismiss this case into yay gay marriage.
Okay.
So we're waiting on him to do that. And then the Attorney General can pick it up and he can try and block it and he can make his moves if he decides to at that point. But I think from what I understand, this is, you know, as much knowledge as I have. But from what I understand, we're waiting on this judge before anything happens yet. Yeah.
Right.
So that's why they keep saying it could be minutes, hours, weeks, months for this comes down.
It could be midnight tonight. It could
right.
be Christmas.
But I have a funny thing that they're going to, Al said, they're just going to be like, we're not going to fight this. Why would we waste all this money? They've already shamed Brewer. She's not going to pack up and go up and fight this.
No.
Well, because, but there's somebody that wants to take up the case.
Well, I'm sure there is somebody in Mesa who decides that, you know, that we're ruining all marriage for everybody.
Yeah, and now what happened with the Supreme Court? And I'm trying to, I always confuse the two, so I'm trying to get their names right. But because it's four liberals, four staunch conservatives with that swing vote. And you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I want my action doll, Sotomayor,
Argo Bargo, we don't know.
Argo
Bargo.
It's going to come to me, but you have Kennedy,
Roberts,
Sawyer, Roberts, and Robert, and but Roberts, you know, fucked them over with the healthcare law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 4-4, and I was going to seem so smart, and now I can't think of for the love of.
Are you talking about that they needed four?
It's 4-4, and so they decide, and you need four justices to say we want it. You don't need five to say we want to hear this case. You only need four, and the conservatives probably didn't have all four say yes.
Right.
Sotomayor, Breyer, Alito,
Kagan,
Thomas,
the three women,
Scalia, Roberts, Kennedy, and Ginsburg.
And Kennedy's a swing vote. Meyer, right?
Sotomayor.
Stephen
Breyer.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Breyer is the other one that's. Oh, for the love of fuck.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I read that part where they needed four votes,
and they're all worried about getting that fifth vote. And the conservatives don't want to lose because it's such a trend that they think that swing. We'll just call them the swing voter. They think the swing voter is going to go with popular, with the way the nation is going. And he was the swing vote in 2013. That. They are still shocked over, and Scalia is doing this whole argy-bargy, argle-bargle thing.
Right.
And he's just frustrated, but he didn't want to take a chance because he couldn't count on that swing vote. And the liberals on the court are like, just hold off. All 50 states and all the circuit courts are going to judge this, and it's going to take it out of our hands.
Right, so we have
and
to
we
do
won't
it.
End up with another Roe v. Wade where we made a sweeping judgment for the whole country. All these states are going to come to it themselves. We won't be judged as activist judges. And Roberts, who's the Chief Justice? Roberts, right?
Chief Justice John Roberts.
Roberts is the most concerned because this is his court. This is his legacy.
This is his legacy, right.
And his legacy, he does not want, as much as he's a butt kisser for the
he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of history.
He doesn't want to be on the wrong side of history, which is why he came down for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and the common thought is, political wisdom, whatever you call that, is that he knew how the swing vote would go, and that he didn't, he could vote against it, and his court would still stand as going with gay marriage and against discrimination. He could win his ideological followers because he knew his legacy would be that the Supreme Court upheld gay marriage. Right. And that is the common thought, that he would have made the vote and gone down as the traitor to make sure that his, because he is all legacy now, and he's worried about very little else. And it all comes to the next president. They're keeping their eye on Hillary, and now we all want Mitt to get involved again because he's thinking about running again.
Is he?
Uh huh. Like so everyone, and Ruth Bader she's saying I won't retire because they will not. This Congress won't do anything. They will never appoint. They will never.
Yeah, they're actually more do-nothing than the do-nothing Congress.
Yeah, that they will never approve whoever he chooses next. They will leave that in limbo until someone else comes up. Like, they will not.
Yeah.
So she said, I'm fine. She's like, I'll tell you when I'm not done, but until then, I'm not going because they're just fucking him over.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just being just as vocal as Scalia and just adding to the argle-bargle of the whole thing. It's really been interesting reading, and it really, like, I do want my action figures because the Supreme Court has been really exciting lately.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to look at their names because that's just driving me fucking
nuts. It's on Wikipedia. That's how I found all of them right there.
Yeah.
It's all rolling quick.
On the edge of our seats.
Yeah.
And now it's even without the states that have to appeal to the Ninth Circuit if they do or they don't, we're still at 30 states.
30 states, yeah.
Not 30, yeah, 30 states.
Yeah, I think it's 30 states.
Including D.C.,
Yeah.
30.
Just so it's 50% of the nation, 50% of the population. And we are
more
pretty,
than, it's,
yeah,
the
we were pretty close.
A lot more than 50% of the population.
Illinois, because you have New York, California, like you have the big, you have the big states. Texas was the holdout of a populous state.
Nope.
You know, there's nobody in Wyoming. That's why there's only four letters on their license plate. You know what I mean? The horse takes up half the fucking license plate.
Right.
Yeah. I'm person eight.
We've lost everybody listening in Wyoming.
The population statistic was in the 60s.
Yeah. But you actually have seen that Wyoming license plate.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They don't even bother with numbers 5 through 8 because there's just no one there. But in Wyoming, oh, that's the other. Thank God I'm remembering stuff, just not people's names.
Please do.
Wyoming has it in their constitution. Like, theirs is not an amendment to one man, one woman. That wasn't like a George Bush, evil little Karl Rofucker addition to get people to vote in 2004. You know, to get, because that was the whole thing. Gay marriage wasn't an issue until they wanted conservative, scared white people to go out and vote against gay marriage and vote for George Bush.
Sure.
And that's how we did it. And that's why they all thought they were going to win in 2012, because they thought they were going to win Minnesota because they thought put gay marriage on the ballot in Minnesota, get the scared white people, the Christians. Right. It didn't work. They lost everything.
Yeah.
But Wyoming was worried about polygamy and Mormons, in their actual state constitution says one man, one woman. So theirs is not a recent law. Right. That's exactly
right. They're just north of it.
So they're saying is we have a legitimate hold. Like, we're not trying to be bigots, but you're not striking down a law we just passed 10 years ago in discrimination.
You're changing our state constitution.
You're changing our state constitution from the 1800s to prevent a whole different
issue.
Animal.
Right.
And so it's really been interesting that they're like, so the clerks are like, we can't file this. Like, you didn't strike down a recent law.
Right.
There's a lot of people fighting that were like, oh fuck, we didn't realize, like, we're like, they didn't know what they were fighting.
Right.
They're like, oh yeah, they do have to read their constitution.
Interesting statistic about Wyoming. Currently, in population, they are ranked 50th out of 50 states in population. Approximate is just under 600,000 people in the state.
Not especially populous.
There's that many people in the central corridor of Phoenix.
Right. Yeah. That's why they only have five members.
They've all got 100 acres. Like,
well, true, right.
Yeah.
And that horse that's on the license plate.
Yeah. And the ruling on gay marriage came on the actual anniversary of
Matthew Shepard.
Not dying, but being
16
beaten,
years.
Kidnapped and beaten.
Yeah.
16 years to the day on gay marriage. And that was one of the things, because it was Laramie County that was like, please don't make us look like bigots again. Like, this is in our constitution. Like, we just, this isn't an easy fix. We can't turn around and say, okay, get married. We have to go change our constitution. And it was a very interesting thing with the clerk in Laramie. Please don't take my picture as the bigot that won't issue this. Like, there's another issue. Please read our constitution. Right. This is hundreds of years or 100 and some years old. Please give us a minute.
We got to have a session.
But that poor person in Laramie was like, don't write my name. Please don't take my picture. I'm not an asshole. I will help when I can, but we do have a back issue. So I just want to get this right, because I sounded like an idiot. But it's Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer are the ones that consistently vote together. And Kennedy, it's the one that's easy to confuse, because he sounds like he should be a liberal, but he's really a conservative. But he's the swing that you're always hoping for, and no one can count on him, because he seems to be bending to popular opinion lately. Mm. But he wasn't the one. It was actually Roberts that voted for the Health Care Act. He was the vote that no one
was the surprise swing vote. Yeah,
the surprise swing vote that was like, this fucker. So that's it. There's an interesting article. I think it's in the New York Times about why they turned it down and the political wisdom. And it was really interesting to read.
Yeah.
And to read, like, it's mostly fear and mostly like, nah.
Right. And what a fun, like, testament to how fast change can happen. Like, Matthew Shepard, 16 years ago.
One of the fastest social changes.
Yeah.
And if you watch any show, that's all they're talking about. There's never been this big of a shift in opinion.
Social changes are going so much faster. I mean, they've said this time and time again since the 60s. I mean, it just goes faster and faster and faster, because you've got history and knowledge of, okay, we've already fought this fight, and this is how it came out. Just like, I mean, it used to be interracial marriage, you couldn't do that. And then the entire civil rights movement. So many things have changed so rapidly, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the beauty of social media.
Because
Because so many more people are on board and are aware of shit, because they're not buried in Wyoming on a farm and you have no idea what's going on.
And you're not subject to only the Mormon-owned television station and the Mormon-owned... I grew up in Utah. The Mormon-owned television station, the Mormon-owned newspaper, the Mormon neighbors. Like, you're not subject to that little, like, sheltered hole.
Right.
And it proves the point of Harvey Milk. Come out wherever you are. Like, you have to come out, because the more you know people, the more, the less you can discriminate against them, because you actually have a name and a face. It's not like, oh, the gay guy from the TV show. Like, no, it's the gay guy that works with me. It's the gay woman that's in the PTA and is doing the book fair. Like, oh, that affects her life. Like, all of a sudden you go to vote and you're like, I have a face. Right,
Oh, and I hate the gays. Oh, but I like her. Right. Nope, can't do that.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Hate the sin, love the sinner.
Fuck you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we have that on the bundle.
That's, and I swear to God, if somebody ever says that to me again in my lifetime, I will go find a baseball bat.
Punch them in the throat. The throat? Here's the wonderful thing about the throat punch. It's not going to hurt your hand as much as a face.
Or a windshield, according to you from earlier.
Oh, that can't hurt, too.
I absolutely cannot hear that phrase. And if one more cunt, and men can be cunts, too, comes up to me and says, oh, I just hate the sin. Fuck you.
Oh, I have to find
Fuck
that.
You.
I have a cunt infographic for you.
Oh, that's exciting.
I love it.
Let's do our last headline story, because Al's got some entertainment stuff to get to.
Yes.
I know, and I'm really surprised we've gone this long with headlines, but we've done a great job, and nobody's counting.
The gay marriage thing was going to take up some time.
Oh, no, and I'm sure we're not done with it, actually. Lancaster, New Hampshire.
There's a Lancaster in every fucking state.
Lancaster.
A lawyer for a woman accused of ransacking the New Hampshire grave of her father in search of what she was calling the real will wants a judge to suppress her written statement to police that she dug up the grave, quote, with respect, and he would be okay with it, she says. Prosecutors allege that Melanie Nash, who's 52 years old, conspired with others to remove her father's remains from the Colebrook Village Cemetery in May of 2014. The vault, businessman Eddie Nash, who died back in 2004, was found cracked with the casket open and his remains searched through. Excuse me. The Caledonian Record reports that Melanie Nash's lawyer, William Albrecht, filed a motion last month arguing statements made after her arrest and before she was advised of her Miranda rights that should be excluded because they violate her right against self-incrimination. Now, Coos County Attorney John McCormick said Nash showed her, quote, free will in coming to the police and waiving her Miranda rights. Police believe the casket was pulled out after Melanie Nash commented about her father being buried with the real will. A police affidavit said that she didn't find any will, only a pack of cigarettes in her dead father's hand.
So wait. So she dug up her dead daddy.
Yeah.
Went to the cops.
10 year dead.
Dug up dead daddy.
So
went to the cops, said, fuck yeah, I did it, and then got arrested.
I'm guessing. Unless somebody, I don't know if the rest of the story tells us. Hang
I just
on.
Enjoy paraphrasing.
Nash told police she did not receive anything when her father died and has been thinking of digging him up for years to prove that her sister was wrong. Susie Nash allegedly hid the will. And Susie Nash has said that there was only one will when her father's estate plan was done back in 1995, and everyone involved knew about it. In her June 11th written statement to police, Melanie Nash wrote that she met up with others to go to the cemetery to dig up her father's grave. Four other people have now been indicted with the case.
Because they bury them deep. It takes a couple of people.
Well, yeah, it does.
That shit on television where one person digs the grave, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, 6 feet. Oh, yeah. And then you got to open that thing, which is mostly been sealed. Yeah.
Now, she wrote that all of this was done for the right reasons, and I know my father would be okay with it. She ended her statement with, what we all did was dig up my father's coffin, Eddie Nash looking for documents. We did it with respect. Nash, who died of a heart attack at the age of 68, started an equipment business in 1979, still run by his family, and he has since been reburied.
I love that he was holding on to that pack of smokes.
They buried him with a pack of smokes. But I remember my grandfather saying, of course he was cremated, but he's like, if I would ever be buried with like a six pack of beer, he goes, I'd never rest in peace.
Seriously, who's going to drink that beer?
No, it's like, it's right there. If I could just get
back alive.
One of those dark days where the stores aren't open and you're just a little thirsty.
No, dig up grandpa. Come on. It's all right. Well, that's it for headlines. And we're going to move on with a little thing we like to call entertainment.
A couple of big Broadway deaths that happened, but not Broadway itself, still alive and kicking.
Live!
I have a couple of movie reviews, including what I think is the movie of the year thus far. And then I don't know where all my shit went.
Lost on the internet.
In the interwebs.
And the interwebs. Okay, wow. That all just happened.
Got a lot of shit now, don't you? Here we go, Al Perkins and entertainment.
Like, there's this new scheduled part that it goes to. But that's if I write a date. Like under scheduled, it's telling me that I wrote something as Sunday, so it makes a schedule for it.
Okay.
Instead of just saying, it's just the word fucking Sunday.
Calm down.
Calm down, Betty.
Bargle, bargle.
It's trying to be smarter than you.
Yeah, it's argle, bargling me.
What are those? No, the other one.
Oh, bagel crisp.
Let me have, I need something.
They are, they're sea salt. They're delicious.
Oh, I enjoy sea salt.
They're delicious. I would recommend a dip.
Oh. They've not been opened.
Okay, so Marion Seldes, legendary Broadway performer, movie actress, Tony Award winner, two-time Tony Award winner, including for the original production of A Delicate Balance, which is coming back to Broadway with Glenn Close in any minute now. She died at 86 years old, her very full career of movies and TV and Broadway, just all kinds of awards. And I'm just going to try and find a couple things. Beautiful. Just one of those women that just stayed beautiful and looked like herself as long as they were filming her.
Give me the name. I'm sorry.
Marion Seldes.
Marion Seldes. I'm going to look her up right quick.
I just thought she just made 80 look beautiful. She was just a very, very, very beautiful woman. And of just one of those faces that you just knew. Her, I'm trying to think of where she had a big part in Mona Lisa Smile was the movie where she really, you just remember her. The Haunting, Sex and the City, she was Mrs. Big. She played Mr. Big's mother. Mm-hmm. And she was one of those women that just looked at you and you were like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk to you. But Murphy Brown, like, she just always played that woman, that one look, and you were like, all right, I'll shut up.
Oh.
So, but I mean, she's been around, just been around for years. 86 years old. They will more than likely dim the lights on Broadway in her honor. And then the other one is Jeffrey Holder, who just made a career doing absolutely everything he fucking could. 84 years old, died on the 5th in New York City. Movie actor. He was the he's the narrator for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He was Punjab and Annie, which is the downfall of his career. That was really the low point of. Well, that movie and his career. He was the 7-Up man, the Uncola.
Right, I have a little audio clip of, for those of you who might remember this.
You have made 7-Up number one. The people have spoken and the choice is clear. The Uncola.
He was also, for those of you locally in the Phoenix area, he was the voice of, we had a smooth jazz station called The Coyote, and he was like, it's smooth jazz, I'm The Coyote. He used to do that voiceover, too.
Mm-hmm. And his biggest role, though, in something that people aren't ashamed to admit they watch, like Annie the movie, is in Live and Let Die. He was Baron Samedi, and he was he was the villain. He was the one that kind of goes after Jane Seymour. In Live and Let Die. And then on Broadway, he was the director and, in a really strange twist, costume designer for The Wiz, for the original production of The Wiz. And for the revival in the 80s that they did about 9 years later. But he directed and costume designed, won Tonys for both. He was a dancer, the Holder Dance Company. He was with the Joffrey Ballet. No, he wasn't. His name is Joffrey. I'm so sorry.
It wasn't his ballet.
He was discovered by Agnes DeMille, famous choreographer. He started on Broadway with Diane Carroll at the Alvin Theater. And I'm trying to think of what the, what dance... He took over a dance company. Can't remember. He had his own. They don't make mention of him because he got his own. So fuck it.
And I don't remember if you said it. Was he from South Africa? Isn't that where he
Trinidad,
was?
He was Trinidad.
Okay.
West Indies. And that was that fabulous accent. That was the right. Actual Trinidad. So, I mean, just big performers if you knew them. But him was just how many different things he did. Mm-hmm. The fact that he did The Wiz and a James Bond thing and a television commercial and a, you know... The horrible raping of a beloved musical turned into the worst, second worst movie of a musical ever made, after A Chorus Line. oh, that's right. And If These Walls Could Talk Too, she was the elder lesbian in that one. Like she, it's just a brilliant career. Marion.
Not Jeffrey Marion.
Not Jeffrey
Thank
Marion,
you.
Yeah.
Careful.
And she was one of those people that when you saw her face, you're like, oh, I remember her. But then you would like have to look and be like, oh, because all she did was look at you mean, and you're like, oh, I got her. I always confuse her with the one from Dolores Claiborne, where a well-timed accident can be a woman's best friend. Mm-hmm. So we'll go back to here. The Walking Dead premieres this Sunday. There's a marathon on now, and the marathon was on in our break room last night, and I kept going in, and I would be like, oh, look, that person's still alive, or oh, my God, look how young they are. I mean, it's only in its fifth season, but they, like, film it so early and delay it that, like, we saw the first season, and Carl was seriously, like, a little kid, and now he's, like, a tween, and he's, like, a foot and a half taller, and he kills people and has, like, great episodes, and he's actually a good actor, so it's always weird to see that. Well, let me hit that button. So there we go. We talked about that.
Are you going to talk about American Horror Story?
Yes.
Okay.
Carnival.
Yes.
They're a freak show.
Freak show.
That is starting sometime this month. I'm not sure.
I have
it's usually a Wednesday night, so I'm thinking it's next Wednesday.
I actually have a mild interest in this because I've been watching. Facebook has been full of, you know, this trailer, that trailer, this thing, that thing. And I've been watching the interviews with the actors that are in it, and which is very interesting because I love to know the behind, you know, who they are. But I think what sold me is the new opening sequence that's all stop motion animation.
Oh, okay.
It just draws me in, and I don't know anything about what this fucking show's about. I mean, I'm going to allege it's something scary.
None of us do, because it's an anthology.
But it's American Horror Story, so why would it not be about something horrific?
Because last season I didn't think was scary. Last season wasn't scary.
But is that their goal? Is that where they're going with this? It's a crazy, scary trip? Is that what the deal is?
No, well, the first season was legitimate horror story.
I had to stop watching the first season.
Yeah, the first season was scary. The second season was just gross. It was just disturbing. And then I thought last season was just camp. Like, I think last season would be the one you liked. That was just a campy, like, every great actress getting a chance to, like...
That was the witch's
shoe
the
scene.
Right, that's where goat. Yes. Seems like a goat.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks was in it, yeah. Matt, stand back. Yeah, she was in it with everybody else. Okay, so to me that was just like watching... I can't think of the name of that other show. Where all those three girls were the witches.
Hocus Pocus.
No.
It's the one Charmed.
But this one, for some reason, intrigues me, and I don't know if it's because of the freaks and how they're staging.
And then watch a couple episodes, and you'll know when to... It's like every Ryan Murphy show. Yeah. You'll know when to turn off.
Because I haven't watched...
No one edits him.
I haven't watched Glee for 4 years.
There's every reason to give that show up. It just, you know what I mean? Like, it reached a point of, like...
It wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't think.
Well, he needs an editor. And he left... Glee got bad when he and whatever his name was... left to go to American Horror Story. Like, you can tell when they walked out the door and they left the show to someone else.
Well, when Sue Sylvester stopped being a biting, funny character, like Karen Walker used to be, when I stopped watching Will and Grace.
Because they couldn't have a show about high school where the bully was the teacher.
Right.
Well, you know, when people, they had to listen to the public outcry of, like, bullying and teen suicide is going crazy. And you have this woman being cruel to her students on a show you want teens to watch. Now you're saying that it's like, they really got themselves into a hard place with that.
Well, that sucks, because I think for people who...
No, it really did. It was meant for adults, but unfortunately, the audience skewed younger, which they love, because they want to put the stuff on for what they want you with your list for what you want for Christmas.
Right.
And they were selling music on iTunes like fucking crazy.
Oh, totally. I bought a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, it was Argy Bargy all over the place. Like, Helter Skelter Sister.
Uh-huh.
And we'll do that. So Ryan Murphy has a new show coming out, and it's now called American Crime Story, another anthology.
Because he's not busy enough. What the fuck?
He's making money.
It's like Dick Wolf and all these Law and Orders.
Make hay sunshines, girl.
I guess.
So this one tackles the OJ. So it's going to be another anthology where each season will deal with the same troupe of actors. Whoever he picks, whatever actress is left not working in the first series. So the first season's going to tackle OJ in 10 to 12 episodes, depending on how they end up, and then they'll see how that goes, whether or not it's renewed, and they get another season, another crime, another thing of actors. I do like the anthology thing. The anthology season is something that's been missing from TV from even before we were alive. Like, there just hasn't been this thing of, like, using a troupe of actors to tell a different story. Like, you're not continuing for 10 seasons with the same plot. You revamp, everybody gets new characters, you're a troupe of actors with a part to play, and I love that feel of...
Which is really fun, because then you don't get an actor or actress, like, pigeonholed into...
Right.
You know.
And Jessica Lange has been making the most of all of it, because, I mean, she won an Emmy for what I thought was their shittiest season, but she was a well-written character. Like, that legitimately was a really well-written character.
Right.
Now, you say that they're going to do...
That's what Kathy Bates won an Emmy.
They're going to do the OJ story. Now, are they really doing this based on...
We don't know. This is all... This news just came out today that it was greenlit. So whether he's going to do like a dramatization, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be straightforward.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm from what I read, from the little bit I read.
We're not glossing over that this isn't really about O.J. Simpson and the whole story. It's not like based on, like, you know, FBU pulls headlines and
reads. And changes the names, yeah.
Right. So this is really going to be that story.
Right.
That we think. All right.
Right. And since he has, from the first season of American Horror Story, he has the fascination with the Black Dahlia. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, season two was the Black Dahlia.
I mean,
one of the most famous unsolved crimes in.
Most boring movie I've ever seen.
Oh, horrible movie.
Horrible.
And speaking of, we'll go right down to a horrible movie.
Okay.
So, it turns out, based on my choice of movies this weekend, I was forced to endure what I'll call the 50 Shades of Awful trailer for 50 Shades of Grey. I was actually offended. I actually was like, that just looks gross.
Yeah.
Like, the trailer, I felt smarmy, I wanted to shower, and like, this is just lady porn. Like, and we all enjoy porn. We're not going to remember. But this was just some kind of, like, icky. And it's written by a woman, which makes me, like, it's just icky porn. But we'll get...
I refuse to even read the books, because from what I gather, it's
I never read them either.
It's really, like, just self-loathing, repressed housewife porn. Go watch Secretary. Same concept, much more well done.
Yeah, and
Maggie Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Disturbing.
Sure.
Lindsay Lohan has her debut on the West End in Speed the Plow, David Mamet's play that was Madonna's Broadway debut, where Madonna got kind of knocked down a peg for, like, she tried, and maybe she was not up to David Mamet. Like, maybe start a little lower in the literary canon than having David Mamet write something for you. Lindsay Lohan did the West End opening of this new revival, and had to call for a line 4 times during a monologue.
Oh.
And I guess another actor on stage also flubbed a line at the very beginning, and that she broke character. Like, it wasn't just that she forgot the line, it was that she also broke character and giggled when the line was spoken to her. So that's turning into another treat.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I said that already. Stephen Collins, actor from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, this has been all over today. Jeez.
In a therapy session with his wife. I'm not sure how this legally can be released for 100 different reasons.
I'm very upset about this, and probably not for the right reasons, but continue, please.
Not about the kids, but you followed the series when he was on it, right? That's the thing you're...
Because it's a 90s show.
Yeah.
So upset.
With that cutie patootie that had lymphoma. What's the...
Boy or girl?
Boy.
The oldest boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cute. I don't know.
He was cute, and he got lymphoma and kind of side-railed his career.
And
but
the youngest one grew up to be hot.
Yeah.
The youngest boy did.
I never watched the show, so I got
and
no...
And then Jessica, whatever the fuck her name is, like... Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah, it was a good cast.
Of course I watched the show.
In a therapy session where with his former wife, who was also his therapist, I guess. I can't...
No. They are... I actually opted not to because this one made me fairly angry. They were at, like, this couple's therapy. Like, there's a therapist that
makes
speaks
more
a little bit.
That makes more
so
sense.
So she was secretly recording couple's therapy.
Okay, that
continue,
now
sir.
That makes more sense.
Oh, so the wife
is secretly recording a couple's therapy session.
You can't do that.
In certain states, you can.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a valid point.
In certain states, you can secretly record a conversation as long as there's a third party.
And that's the whole thing with the guy from the Clippers.
That's true.
Recording without someone's consent.
My bad.
So anyways, he admitted in the therapy session that he molested one child and exposed himself to two others. They were girls aged 10 to 13 from what I read. Mm-hmm. Fired from TED 2, like just being lambasted, but just weird from top to bottom. And I couldn't get the details out of it. I heard it was a therapy session with his former wife, and I'm like, was his wife the therapist? But I never thought of couples therapy. That makes much more sense.
Yes.
But very disturbing, because, like, I hope they divorced him right after that meeting,
The therapy session was actually in conjunction with their divorce. Like, they're getting divorced over all of these things. I have a thing.
Well, that explains me why when I was...
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Running around today, they flashed to a scene from TED, and I'm like, what the fuck does TED do?
He got fired from TED 2.
Which I didn't realize. Okay, because I couldn't hear it. I just saw it. I'm like...
Seth MacFarlane is a fan of Star Trek, and in the original Star Trek movie, Stephen Collins played the captain of the Enterprise once William Shatner got made like Admiral of Starfleet or something. Why do I know that much about Star Trek? I don't know. But
I can't find my link to it. I watched the whole thing, or you know, it was in video format so that they could transcribe it for me.
Oh, fucked up. I read that and I was just sick. Because he's one of those people that I've enjoyed for a long time. I just thought he was he's a fun character actor, shows up, he's in First Wives Club, kind of fun. Yeah.
So where are we with this? Is this another statute of limitations thing? Is this, where does this go?
I think he's just ruined because he,
for sure.
She taped it and he admits to what he did and it's just gross.
Yeah, I believe, I think.
And I don't think there is a statute of limitations on child molestation now. I think they changed the laws because of all the pedophilia in the church. I think that you can go back and if not, you can get, I know you can get reparations for Aunt Jemima.
Yes.
You can argle-bargle your way into
if
that.
If somebody touched you, you can get pancakes, apparently. So.
Yeah, I want to say that the moral of the story was that there were charges being brought against him.
Yeah, and they're working on it now. From the last thing I read was that the whatever jurisdiction it fell under was working up charges because...
But there was already an investigation at one point that they couldn't find anything on, and they closed the investigation, right?
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
No, he was just confessing in couples therapy.
But okay. I thought that there was already, I swear I saw this too, that there was an investigation at some point historically. I'm not saying if it's 2, 5, 10 years ago. There was something else, and then they found no grounds for it, so they closed that investigation.
That'd be for next week's show, because I'm not sure.
All right.
I haven't heard that part.
Yeah, I only have bits and pieces on this guy, because I read it, and like, seriously, was like, I do not want to bring this up on the show, because it just... the invasion of privacy makes me so angry. The molesting children makes me so... There's so many things that make me very, very angry about
it. And then I was like, oh my God, this is so... All of it was so gross.
It's icky, but I'm so over being surprised about wholesome-seeming people being icky. Okay, I wasn't surprised.
Right.
I'm like, oh, the guy from Seventh Heaven, perfect person to be molesting children.
Play the minister. Please, he'll go down first. Literally.
Done. We've seen that song before. Yeah, like the invasion of the is there no... doctor patient confidentiality anymore
knowing the wife was doing it
mm-hmm. It wasn't the doctor leaking it, it was the wife.
That makes me feel better about how that all went down. But aren't you obligated
you
as a doctor
covered somehow? Well, yeah, there is
the doctor
that
has an obligation,
mandatory reporting, right?
Especially of child molestation. That's just gross. Yeah. Let's see, we're mostly on TV this week until we get to the end. Real Time, HBO Real Time with Bill Maher.
Is this the Ben Affleck thing?
Yeah. It was, first off, it was a genius show. We had Elizabeth Warren as the opening guest, who is my hero, and I want her action belt, too. Then it was an interesting debate on a couple topics. Yeah. Then they did The Republicans Are People, Too, the ad campaign that you were talking about last week, that it really is an ad campaign that's out there on the internet called Republicans Are People, Too. We drive Priuses, we're black. You know, the things that Republicans do, just like Democrats. And then so Bill Maher made the Democrats are assholes, too. So there was that. But then at the end, they brought out this guy who's a writer, slightly controversial, very anti-religion, as Bill Maher is. And Bill Maher, my problem with Bill Maher is his go-to argument is always that it's religion fucks
religion,
you up. And so, I mean, while that's often true, it's too much of a knee-jerk reaction with him. Sometimes I think he foregoes thoughtfulness to just go to, well, we'll just blame religion because I hate religion, instead of, looking it over. So he and the panelists are kind of, on that bend, and I think we talked about it last week, where they were saying, if you're truly liberal-minded, you shouldn't be so offended by Rush Limbaugh calling someone a slut. You should be offended by the country that's actually not allowing women to vote or keeping them covered up. And we should be sending our hatred. And Rush Limbaugh's an asshole, but he's not an asshole that deserves your attention. He just has a talk show and called someone an asshole. Called someone a slut. Right. Like we're doing. You should be wasting this time boycotting a nation like Saudi Arabia that, even though they have oil, treats their women very poorly, or Uganda. They should be doing something about making it illegal to be homosexual or beheading people for leaving their religion. So it's an interesting debate, and they were going to go unchallenged and just have this, and Ben Affleck just got in their face, and the third panelist kind of backed him up meekly but made some really good points. Right. And it wasn't that either side was particularly right or wrong. It's just a conversation that I think needs to be had.
A lot.
And it was actually had about judging all Christians, all Muslims, all Islams by the extremes in the group, or do you just pick out, like, this is wrong, but these people are basically good, and saying it's the largest religion in the world, so it really is, it's not a minority religion.
Right.
It's the most practiced religion in the entire world. So it's not a minority, but you're treating it like this, and it was one of those things where at the end of it, it got a lot of internet play. People were putting it up, like Bill Maher and Ben Affleck hate each other. You know, they're at odds. It was just an interesting conversation, and it got slightly heated, but they came to the conclusion, we're not going to persuade anybody either way, but we both got our points across, so let's move on. And I'm like, when was the last time somebody on TV had a conversation that ended with, well, we both made our points, and we're not persuading each other, let's go to the next topic? And it was a way to have a conversation that Obama's not a communist. You know what I mean? We don't have to draw Hitler mustache on somebody. It was just saying, this idea has some merits, but it's a little flawed. This idea has some flaws and a little bit more merit. And this guy over here has something to say about, you sound like white people complaining about black people on Fox News. Like, that's how you sound when you're saying this.
Wait, are there black people on Fox News?
No, the white people.
Okay,
yeah,
just making sure, because I thought I'd missed breaking news.
They bring wow. up Ben Carlson, the neurosurgeon, every time they want to
break. Oh,
here's our black friend. Come here, honey. And they, who's the other one that they have? They have the guy that used to be on PBS that got fired for saying he gets nervous when he flies on planes with people with headscarves.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, fuck. He's on PBS for, anyways, Molly will help me. She'll remember his name. But, you know, those are their two black correspondents.
Sure.
So, anyways, it's a very, and again, a very interesting conversation. And, again, HBO. And we're changing hours. Okay, I have two things.
You got more to do. I'm sure you
do.
There's so much happening. We have an hour to go. A drinking word is Argle Bargle or Argy Bargy.
Argy Bargy.
Argy Bargy.
Georgie Porgy.
Georgie Porgy.
Whatever.
I like Georgie Porgy too.
That's so fun.
That's a DJ's name.
And somebody's got to Google that actual quote from Scalia.
Oh.
Well, I just pointed at Kat.
Pat Carlson is on it. She will take care of that for us, as she readily does every week now. Googles for us.
It's copious but meaningless talker, writing nonsense, bureaucratic Argle Bargle.
Argy Bargy.
Argy Bargy. That's the definition. Well, Margie's got a lot of time in that car. I hope you're not driving.
Yeah, we'll find out more about that later. Coming at the end of hour two, one more hour to go. Thoughtful Vulgarity and more with Al. Coming up, stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is The Show on Q Talk America, Studio C. We are live from 7 to 10 p.m. Arizona time each and every Tuesday, with the exception of next Tuesday. We will be off for 1 week.
Our autumnal break.
Oh, that's what we'll call it. Oh, that's lovely.
Autumnal break.
Yes. Yeah, so we
will. Our roster shall us.
So
use your separation.
Use your time wisely next Tuesday night. Or like Kat said, she's just going to go to her own kitchen, pour a glass of beer, and talk to herself.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
I'm going to mock up a microphone and sit at my dining room table and just talk.
Do like I do in video, talking to a whisk.
That was so goddamn funny. That was hilarious. You doing the news reporting about this weather and this poorly shod man.
Put the link on the page.
That was so damn funny. I will put that in there. That was hilarious. Then you know what I enjoyed about the whole thing that I noticed?
When I imitated the wind?
Well, no. I didn't get to that. No. There was one of my grandfathers who was in television, didn't live in a television, but
oh,
he was in TV.
Shame. It's very comfortable.
I remember him telling me as a very young one, I was interviewing him with a cassette recorder one time, and he said, one of the worst things about an interviewer is, you know, you repeat the answer. So where are you from? I'm from Poughkeepsie. Oh, you're from Poughkeepsie. Because you're using that time to think of the next question, you're delaying. And the whole time you were interviewing the poorly shod person in the rain, you never repeated the questions. And I thought, well, God, you actually could interview people. You have a career in this.
I interview Kevin all the time. That's our new thing when we travel together, is we try to do... I think we did three this time, video journals. Because I used to do travel blogs, but when it's with Kevin, we do videos. and I try to teach him something, or I wait till he's like completely wasted, and then I ask him questions. And Kevin's like, I don't. And he makes me crack up when he's drunk.
Well, I loved was. I was
does like, it look like a Japanese garden? Yes. Kevin, have you ever seen a Japanese garden? No.
Did you ask him, well, how long have you been trudging through this weather? From about 7 feet over there.
Let's see. I came on stage right over there.
I entered stage right.
I'm gonna put a link to this video if on our chat room page. If you haven't seen Al interviewing people, this is in P-Town, right?
Yeah. When I go on vacation, I try to get someone to. So from Puerto Rico, we're going to try and do a video.
Fuck, it was funny. See if I can find it right. Continue on with your
Williams is Fox News' other black guy. That's their other black person that's willing to be photographed on Fox News. And I love it that even before they premiere season 5, Walking Dead has been premiered for season 6, because they're probably getting such huge ratings from the marathon of repeats. They're like, just pay these people to the end of time. It's kind of like the Big Bang Theory.
We'll keep going.
Until they're too old, like they're going to be doing the Big Bang Theory and Walkers, because they're like, nope, still getting more viewers than any other show. No. You're on until you want to stop. And they're, you know, what are those three going to do? Or six, now that there's six of them. You know what I mean? Like, they're not looking for work. They're not trying to brand. Like, you know, at least the cast of Friends was, like, directing episodes and having little independent films. Right. These six are like, fuck it. I'm taking $1 million and going to sit over the beach.
Money's good.
And I like them for it. Like, and it still makes me laugh. I have to say.
Where did it come from? Because it's not on your Facebook page. Who posted it?
Chris Willey.
Ah, that's why I can't find it.
Now, last Wednesday, as I've narrowed down my choices to get down to a reasonable amount of TV, because trying to watch all those premieres and new shows, I just lost interest.
I've been trying very hard.
I
carry a tablet
shit
with me, and I put it on while I'm doing other shit.
Yeah, I tried, and it's time consuming. Mm. But I have to tell you, Stalker, and the what they buried the lead on this one is it's written by Kevin Williamson, Dawson's Creek, the Scream movies.
Okay.
Funny horror writer. Like he writes pretty good mid-level dramas. He writes really good horror movies, and he has a flair for like a little bit of comedy and a little bit of knowing what, you know, Scream is the inside baseball.
Knowing what the current 30-somethings are gonna like.
Right, but also like having a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, really inside baseball.
Oh,
like,
the first Scream was very funny.
Very funny. Well, you know the killer's gonna be hiding over there. Like, they know they're in a horror movie.
Why
and
are
I
you
just
going
loved,
upstairs? Yeah.
Introduced us to the meta. Like, everybody who was always confused about what meta means, just watch Scream. That whole movie is so, like, either inside baseball or meta, however you want to describe that phrase.
Shame strong.
However you want to argue about that shit. Shame strong. But Stalker was scary, well-written. It has that CBS thing of a little bit too violent towards women, but any cop show pretty much skewers that way. Had a male-on-male college stalker thing that came up again that was a little creepy. It was creepy. It was tense. It was very good television. They got a lot of bangs because CBS really does do Criminal Minds. Some of those shows are just needlessly violence against women. This show, the opening, once they got past the opening, the women stopped being just the target of violence. Like, it's got a female, the lead character Maggie Q, is the smartest one on the show. Everyone's a little suspicious. What are you hiding? It wasn't just gross victimizing, but I thought it was very tense, and, you know, it's 42 minutes of television, and I enjoyed it. So that bumped a lot of shows off the list of things I'm willing to watch. Because let me tell you, Red Band Society and the Mysteries of Laura went right in the crapper once I saw that. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not watching that shit again. This is too good. Really well done. And I think, I have it down twice. I have it down to Stalker, scary, fun, violent, and then I have Stalker, scary, good, Kevin Williamson. So clearly twice this week I thought to write something about it. So for my date with myself.
In which you did not put out.
I did not. Not a chubby chaser. A little argle bargle at the end of the night.
That
I said,
is,
not tonight, Satan.
That is funny.
Not tonight, Myrna. I saw Gone Girl, lives up to the hype.
That's what you said.
Absolutely amazing. David Fincher.
The book has been living up to the hype. I haven't read it.
Oh, the book is phenomenal. And I'll tell you what I did after I saw the movie. David Fincher, the promise of... we're all going to forget about the mysterious case of why the fuck Bill Benjamin Button got made into a movie. That piece of shit. But Zodiac, The Social Network, Seven... just, I mean, this man has a career going. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the American remake, which an American remake of a movie is always dangerous. Really well done. This guy just has his shit together, and he has Trent Reznor doing the score to it. And across the board, just great performances, timely. The missing, the gone girl is a pretty white girl. They skewer Nancy Grace. Like, they just pretty much just outright mm-hmm. call her a cunt.
Yeah.
And in the end of the movie, Ben Affleck just takes a shit on her.
Yes.
And is just says that she's trying to be, like, all sweet and nice. And he's like, fuck you. I mean, it was just Ben Affleck playing the right amount of smarmy. Like, just they just took advantage of all those years that Ben Affleck was on the wrong side of, like, the paparazzi and just constantly just getting dumped on for, like, look at how he looks.
You just told me everything I need to know about just seeing this movie is the fact that he shits all over Nancy Grace. That is the only, for nothing else.
Right.
And that's then, why I would go see this
and
movie.
And then
I was hooked at seven. Like, I've been changed for life by that one movie.
Oh, yeah. Because David Fincher, he's just so good. Cela Ward has a great part as kind, like, there's really no one that she's playing. There's no current broadcaster, but she plays a newswoman. Tyler Perry, who knew he could act? He's really good as the guy that takes on husbands accused of murder. And he's like a defense attorney that gets guilty guys off. Rosamund Pike as Gone Girl is just the right amount of, you are one sick bitch. Like, you just want to take a shower after you see her. Like, you just are like, get me away from this woman. Her last name is Kuhn. I can't think of her first name. Plays the sister.
Mila?
Brilliant. Now I can't think of her. It's literally C-O-O-N. The detective who is from, she was in Lost. And the woman whose last name is Kuhn, who plays the sister, was just on The Leftovers. She was the one whose whole family was taken away in The Leftovers.
I wanted to watch that. I haven't seen it yet.
Everybody in the cast is like, everyone's underplaying it. Everyone is just right on the mark, and you just feel like you're watching CNN for the entire thing. Like, the pretty white girl's missing. Nancy Grace just shitting on the husband and saying he's got to be guilty. Look at this evidence. Look at this evidence. Based on absolutely nothing. Like, she's just going on stuff that she heard earlier on Fox News. Like, everything, it just feels like you're watching the real news and watching somebody just try to escape from, like, the filthy, filthy media. And it really gets you all caught up in it. And then they handle the twist really nicely. And I was in the fancy schmancy lay down on your recline chair and have your glass of wine theater. Those 36 people all gasped at just the right minute. Like, everybody was like, and it was like, you're like, like, you could tell that no one had read the book. And I was well played, people. And then it bears mentioning Neil Patrick Harris with an economy. I have not seen someone be given three scenes where, like, we don't have the time. And the book is very short, too. And this is where I saw the movie. Neil Patrick Harris has basically three scenes and four lines to get you from point C to D. And you have to get all the right places without the voiceover, because the book is all told from the first person.
Right.
So if she voiced over it, it would have been a cheat. And they could have done it because it would have come directly from the book. You could have heard her voice say this, this, and this, and you would know something. But he has to do it with, like, one look, two lines, and three scenes. He's got to get you to that place of, like, oh, this is fucked up. Like, you go, like, oh, we're Molly, you in danger, girl. And it just goes all fucked up again. And you're like, wow, they did that so fast. And, like, I'm like, I hope those two work together again. I hope David Fincher finds Neil Patrick Harris something to do where they can have, like, 10 scenes together. Like, just use that, what Neil Patrick Harris, turns out he's so good at that subtlety of just a line delivery that should sound normal. That's just like, oh, that's pure evil, bitch. Like,
right.
I gotta go. My scrotum just went up into my throat and I'm out of the room. And he doesn't
I
see all the exits?
Are they clearly marked?
So I went home and I was so intrigued by, because there was parts of the book that I had forgotten. So I went home and I read the last two. The book's 420 pages. I read 200 to 420 the next morning. And you read it so fast because you just can't put it down. It's written so well, and it's just so, it's just this roller coaster ride just to see how they compared. Because I'm like, how did they handle that Neil Patrick Harris? That's all I wanted to see. Like, that felt so good to me. And I was like, oh, she had to tell you what you should feel. Like, because it's all told from her perspective. And instead, Neil Patrick Harris, you had to feel sick to your stomach without her saying, oh, I feel sick to my stomach. Like, it was just everything Steven Spielberg was not. It was just great directing, great editing. You were just, like, you just had to figure out, except for the Nancy Grace part, because Nancy Grace beats you over the head, and you can't do a portrayal of Nancy Grace without a mallet. Like, and it's Missy Pyle, who's in... Oh, she's a crazy actress. Crazy actress. She's really tall. If they ever show her sinning, she can't work with men because she's, like, 7 feet tall. She's in, like, Mars Attacks. She's, like, this really strange character actress that finally gets to play, like, a semi-normal person. But it was so well done. And then I saw Annabelle because I love The Conjuring, and that kept me awake for weeks. And Annabelle was, they had a chance to make a better movie. Good, solid, like, B-minus horror movie.
Yeah.
That if they'd let me in the writer's room for a little while, we could have tweaked that and really scared that up a little bit. Like, there was...
Al had been involved. Right.
Well, we hopped out at, like, an hour 40. Like, we could have done 2 hours and got that to a solid horror movie. Like, we could have... Because we were dancing around Rosemary's Baby. Like, we were sitting like, I'm Mia Farrow. I even got her hair cut, and this guy is kind of pretty. And then they, like, we live in an apartment, just like Rosemary's Baby. We got a creepy neighbor who knows stuff about the devil, but now we're just going to leave that be. And I'm like, come on! You're in Rosemary's Baby. You've been in Rosemary's Baby for the last 25 minutes. Sell it! Like, don't sit there and rub my dick. Let me come. You know what I mean? I want to...
No Cheetos were harmed?
So frustrating.
Spoken like a woman who knows all about it.
My God. I have a new hashtag.
Oh. What?
If only Al was my writer.
Thank you. And that is exactly what that needed. And once you see Annabelle, you'll know what I mean. Like, you just cannot spend that long in Rosemary's Baby's apartment and not Rosemary's Baby. And, of course, they would have been accused of being derivative. But you're being derivative of one of, like, the 4 best horror movies ever made. You're in good hands.
You know what would have been good?
Feel free to rip it off.
Hashtag, if only Al was their writer.
Yes. And it was frustrating me because I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. Like, I wasn't expecting this to turn into, like, The Doll and Rosemary's Baby. Like, what, put a scary doll in with a scary movie? With Mia Farrow's fucking haircut. Like, they even had the haircut. That's where I was like, all right, stop. Mm-hmm. But all filmed in Pasadena, which I was recently in, so it was kind of fun to see things I'd seen. And I think that is it for entertainment. I have nothing else to add. But go see Gone Girl. Do not miss it. It was so good.
Okay.
So and Oscar, like, anywhere from 6 to 9 Oscar nominations, easy. It just depends on how they feel about the actors. But I think Rosamund Pike is a lock for Best Actress. Because that's some evil shit.
No.
That girl's gone.
She's gone, girl. or something like that. Here we go, Kat Carlson.
Good Lord, making this shit up as I go along. This weekend, sports and other stuff. My people won another championship. When trying to get laid, there's an app for that.
Oh.
49ers fans really are the new Raiders fans. And I'll mumble on something about Major League Baseball playoffs because that's happening this week in sports.
And other stuff.
Don, okay, first I have to address it. Yes, please. It was 420 pages, and I realize this is what I said it. And, yes, Molly, the elevator doors, I almost shit my pants. I'm not saying that movie didn't have some legitimate fucking scares in it. I'm just saying, after the elevator doors, we could have just gone down a dark well of terror, because I was there. I was shitting my pants. I had the diaper on.
Well, thank God for that.
Wow. And David Fincher also did Fight Club, which is a genius movie if you've never seen it. That movie is so... just knocks your socks off. Brilliant. Yeah, that's David Fincher. He is brilliant.
Seriously, the first time I saw Seven and the first time I saw Fight Club, crapped my pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I didn't see it coming because most movies you see it coming.
Nothing.
Right. You're like, yeah, it's totally, what's in the box? Oh, my God, what's
And, you know,
the
most
box?
People call that the What's in the Box movie.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I've never seen Seven. What's in the Box? Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
And I have never recovered from the Fight Club. I still think I'm sitting in front of my TV, slack-jawed, like, huh?
Right.
And I'm going to Tim, And Tim was like, why did I watch this movie? I'm like, I don't know, but I loved it.
I am Jack's disbelieving slack-jaw.
Slack-jawed.
Yes.
Slack-fucking-jawed.
All right. So we're phoning this in tonight. We've got sports and other stuff.
Let's go back to gay marriage. That was fun.
That was a lot
of
fun.
We might get to that.
All right. But the U.S. women's national team wins gold in the FIBA World Championships.
Oh, my God. American basketball players win gold. What?
I am shocked.
Lesbians of the world unite and then get married.
Lesbians of the world
unite. In most 30 states.
Right. 30.
30.
And a couple countries. And a couple countries playing this game. Yeah. So it's legal in the U.K. Oh, it is legal in the U.K.
Yeah. Yeah. From Istanbul, after dominantly winning another world championship, the U.S. women's basketball team left no doubt of the gap between the Americans and the rest of the world. And with so much young talent in the system, it might be a while before anyone can catch up. Maya Moore scored 18 points and earned MVP honors as Americans beat Spain 77-64 on Sunday to win a second straight world title. Local women's basketball fans will want to know.
I like how hard you're at local women's. You say it like.
Because I'm trying to read ahead, but trying to tell the story organically and not just read the thing. Anyway, Phoenix Mercury fans would have been thrilled if they had been watching because Diana Taurasi, Candice Dupree, and Brittany Griner were on the team. Other Mercury teammates were on opposing teams.
Because they're foreigners.
We have Aussies.
Yeah.
Penny Taylor played against her teammates playing for the Australian team, and I can't remember the other girl's name.
Well,
right now.
Like
their EP. Yeah.
When the Winter Olympics, when hockey goes, the U.S. team doesn't have a lot of players because most of the hockey players come from internationally.
From
and they
Canada.
So a lot of times we play the Canadians, and we play Russians, we play the Swedes. I mean, it's really funny that, like, none of them are American. So they're like, well, you'll know this guy. And they get good viewership because people that watch the NHL are so excited. But they're like, I can watch 18 different games and still see people from the NHL because they play for
every
fucking country. But the American team is like three college guys that no one's ever heard of, which, you know. That's the whole thing about the Miracle on Ice. When they wanted to win, they're like, we got to bend these rules and get some professional. We got to fix this.
Yeah. Right.
And like summers with basketball and the Olympics, all of a sudden the dream team was allowed to play. All these people that are making millions of dollars.
Oh my God! I remember the first dream team. John Stockton, the mailman. Wasn't Jordan on the dream team? Jordan was on the dream team. Pippen
Magic,
was on the dream
was he
team.
Magic Johnson.
I think Magic was. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Loved the dream team.
They were like 10 feet taller than any other country that came.
They were playing against men that looked like 8-year-olds standing next to them. And we were all shocked and appreciative that they won. So that should wrap up women's basketball.
For a while.
Until next spring.
Until next spring.
Yeah. So moving on in other stuff.
I feel like if I go to the bathroom, she'll be talking to no one because I know you're not paying attention.
Not about sports, but she's going on to other stuff
you
now.
You might pay attention here.
It's other stuff. I like
the
other stuff.
The new Good to Go app allows users to give consent before sex.
I heard about this.
This happened. Want to question a partner's sobriety before giving consent for sex? There's an app for that. It's called Good to Go, and its launch comes days after California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill that defines when yes means yes and requires all state colleges to adopt a affirmative consent policy. The app, which is free to download on iTunes and Google Play, targets college-age adults and includes a sobriety questionnaire that asks users who they're sleeping with, when they're doing it, and how drunk or sober they are.
Well, you gotta define that.
Well,
I'm fine.
Incidentally,
you have it on your fucking phone.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Oh, are we gonna take that?
I've done my research. Hey, Al, you want to hook up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So what do you do?
No, thanks. Yes, but we need to talk about my itchy crotch.
Not just from excitement.
I'm good to go.
So okay, so then
click it.
So then what do you have to?
I'm gonna click yes, but we need to talk. Okay. Let's talk. Okay. Remember, no means no. Only yes means yes, but can be changed to no at any time.
Yeah.
And so no can be changed to yes at any time too.
Partner, make a selection. Are we good to go? Oh.
Yeah.
I am. A, sober, B, mildly intoxicated, C, intoxicated, but good to go, which is pretty much me from 1982. What time is it right now?
Yeah. 2014, so you got a good steady run.
I'm loaded, but let's fucking do it.
Oh, come on, we'll try the baby.
Four,
pretty wasted, which leads us back to three. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to go intoxicated, but good to go. Partner, confirm your sobriety level. What are you going to say? Hand this fucking phone
back and forth? Oh, yeah, no, give it back.
Oh!
Ah!
My bell got wet because of a rogue beer.
Now, that means you were not good to go if your bell got wet. I was going to fuck you, but your bell got
my
wet.
My bell's wet. I'm going to need more of those.
Oh, so now you have to put in your phone number and your password and confirm that you are literally consenting. Well, hey, you know what, though? In ASU, the date rape capital of North America, this is not a bad idea.
Yeah. I unfortunately think it's poorly executed and it's not going to...
Because, yeah.
I signed up for an account with Slugin.
That is funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so I saw that, you know, first I saw the yes means yes, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm in, get the initiative going, like, the thing we need to do, and we need to start with boys that are being born now. What? Yes.
I can just...
Would you like to hear?
I can just envision it. There's a version of this for gay men that's just called Duh.
It's called Grindr.
No, I realize, but I mean, if Good to Go, yeah, that's for you know, the little white straight kids that are in the suburbs. But for gay guys, it's like, yep, are you going to show up?
On a not funny note, you know what it would be about? Would be, for gay guys, it'd be about the condom.
Oh,
sure.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't. It's okay. No, you're walking to the corner store. Let me show you where Circle K is. Get there.
Unless you can figure out how to take that roll of saran wrap in the cabinet and make magic out of that. Listen, Fido.
Allegedly.
Make magic.
Come on.
And a little bit of a rug burn in my crotch.
Hey, you're intoxicated. You don't care. You're good to go.
I was hoping for a fire.
And look, it stays fresh.
So from my soapbox, if we could just teach young men from the age of birth to respect all people,
yeah,
not just women, not just men, not just your elders, respect all people, but especially the women in your life, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Start relating that to your mother, mama's boys.
Right, and I say that all the time, like, yeah. And now it's become the new cry of, like, don't teach women how to defend themselves against rape.
Teach boys not to rape girls.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the answer. That's not available. And to say, and man on man, girl on girl, like, it's all the same. If someone is so intoxicated, just wait till tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it can wait.
And I've just decided, like, when somebody's that drunk and they're, like, pawing at you and you're like, you're cute, but let's see how this goes at 8 a.m.
Yeah, because if you can't wait, there's a room 3 doors down that you can be alone for a few minutes and finish that off lovingly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at a card party night. It wasn't like a party, but it was like a house party where people were invited to just stay the night, like grab a couch, grab the floor, stay over.
Sure.
And it turned into like I met somebody and we ended up like
my life from 1996 to 1998.
Yeah. Kind of playing around on the couch, and I get the whole, I don't really think we should have sex. No, we're not having sex at someone else's house.
Yeah.
No, we're just kissing. Like, put it back in your pants. Like,
calm down.
Who said, in the year of our Lord, I think it was like 2002 or something. Like, what makes you think at my age I'm going to have sex on somebody else's carpet while they're in the next room? Like,
yeah.
Settle down. He's like, well, aren't you? I'm like, I got porn at home that offends me. Like, I can get off anytime I want to. Like,
right.
That was the funniest conversation that someone thought, and I'm like, I should have handed him the app. Like, how drunk are you that you think at our friend's house where he could walk out at any time, we're going to be doing the nasty on his... Like, it is not happening.
And if I know Al Perkins well enough, it was probably... About 15 minutes before some show he actually wanted to watch on TV, and within 15 minutes it was going to stop because something was coming on that he wanted to watch.
I'll
play with you.
Did
for
you think that was going to last longer than, like, I mean, something's going to hold my interest that wasn't TV for longer than 15 minutes?
They had HBO at this house.
No, and
all you got to do is da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, HBO.
Is that Al coming? Nope, HBO.
HBO. Same, really synonymous.
Yeah.
Tomato at this point.
You hear from the basement, baby, I'm coming!
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
As Al scampers up the stairs to the nearest television.
Horrible graphics fly in, and then it's just HBO feature presentation.
And Don says, itchy coochie, but he says yes.
But he says yes.
Yeah.
Just use RID as lube, you know what I mean? Just kill the crabs as you go. I can tell by the looks on your face you're offended by that comment, but I liked it.
Raid makes a lot of non-staining bug sprays, too, so you could still clear the kitchen.
Exactly. It's mosquito season. We're pretty much covered with awe.
And it's slick if you...
Aren't we covered from both STDs and pregnancy at this level of bug spray?
Flying insects included.
Is anything... I am so covered in woods level off, I could slide under a door and right into you. You know what I mean?
Right. Here's the thing.
Even hovering insects will die.
I feel a chart coming.
Not that I needed a list, but I'm going to start.
We're going to add flying mosquitoes to our list if people won't listen.
Reasons I will never sleep with Al.
Oh, that should be a short list.
Not that I needed a list.
Starting with male.
Is that he's going to use bug repellent?
Number one, penis. Number two,
not to be confused with mosquito.
Will not spend money on lube. Insists on using tangential projects.
Too cheap for KY.
But loves citronella scented raid.
Oh, I love that your vagina smells like citronella. I feel I need a wood glove.
Summer's Eve.
Now you got me back on board. Deep Woods Off. Let's go.
Summer's Eve now makes a citronella and a Deep Woods Off scent.
They're ribbed for her pleasure.
Yes. Oh God!
Abracadabra. What's that drinking word?
Oh, Orgy Borgy.
Abracadabra. This wine got better.
Oh,
I'm glad.
I didn't know we were going to get so much mileage out of insecticides.
That was a lot of mileage. In fact, we're going to skip the really like.
Oh. All right, talk to Clayton. I got to pee.
All right. Well, hurry because
eye contact.
Oh, heaven's sake. Is that all the stories you had?
Let's move on to something silly. I had other stories, but I'm scrapping them for something fun.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, what fun do we have?
13 things you never knew about Pop-Tarts.
Oh, God. As timely as last week. Pop-Tarts are back in the show. Now, for those of you who are just joining us this week, last week we had an sundry of Pop-Tarts. We had blueberry. We had raspberry. Strawberry. And
that's it.
We
just had those
three.
Just had the berries.
But if I'm not mistaken, the raspberry was the one, and we say it that way because that's how Al pronounces it. I think the raspberry was the one
he
had never seen that flavor before.
Right.
So we had those. But they all mysteriously left the studio over the week that we y'all have been gone, and I think I ate them pretty much.
Did you call the police?
No. Sir, where did you last see your Pop-Tarts? In my belly. Yeah, no.
I don't know where the Pop-Tarts are.
I don't know. What's all this frosting?
Oh, delicious.
Well, Al, you're just back in time from your urination. We are going to go through a list of things you didn't know about Pop-Tarts.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're not made from any real food.
Yeah. No. We've moved on from sports to I lost control of the classroom, so let's do something fun.
It's just flour and a great mystery.
A burry.
13 things you never knew about Pop-Tarts.
Okay, right, here we go.
Number one, the idea for Pop-Tarts came from a refrigerated dog food invention.
That seems fair.
Okay. I said that right. According to the Chicago Tribune, Post Company's pet food division developed dog food called Gaines Burgers.
I remember those.
I do, too.
I remember those. Tasty. I don't know.
And so tasty, too.
A novel concept because the dog food was semi-moist, but didn't have to
just like me.
A convenience many humans coincidentally sought in their breakfast food.
Semi-moist.
Say that again. I got a little aroused.
Read that line.
A novel concept because the dog food was semi-moist but didn't have to be refrigerated, a convenience many humans coincidentally sought in their breakfast food.
Why are we saying humans?
I just love the thought, you know, honey, I've been looking for something semi-moist in my breakfast food. Just moist.
Yeah.
Semi.
Post, not Kellogg's, but more on that later. Took this innovative technology and put it towards a fruit-filled pastry that could be shipped and stored without having to be refrigerated.
Forever. You need the word forever.
They live slightly longer than Twinkies.
Number two, before Pop-Tarts, there were country squares.
I thought you were going to say cunts. Honest to God, okay.
No, but I'm going to finish up with that infographic.
Country squares.
Country squares. Post was the first to come up with toaster pastry, calling them country squares.
And where are they today?
When asked for a comment, Kellogg's told the Huffington Post, Post introduced country squares just before Kellogg debuted Pop-Tarts. And an article from the Chicago Tribune seems to agree. Back in the 90s, the Tribune interviewed a retired Post food technician. about the post-Kellogg timing debate.
Wasn't Aunt Jemima, that's for no doubt.
You know that you're not making a product that you can eat when they're called a food technician, not a cook?
Yeah, chef, cook.
They can't call you a chef for legal reasons because most of this shit's not edible.
Food. How about a chemist? Technician. Yeah. Anytime you add technician, you know you're a shit worker.
Unless you're getting cable installed.
Yeah. You're just going to sift out the rat shit.
They kept fooling around with it in our labs. Dan Reisman told the Tribune in reference to Post holding Country Squares back from the shelves after Kellogg's introduced Pop-Tarts. Reisman said we could see the handwriting on the wall.
It said Kellogg's.
Exactly.
And they made it out of that raspberry jam that was inside it.
In the beginning, there were four flavors. This is number three.
Okay.
Your flavors were strawberry.
Ah, that's classic.
Blueberry.
Even better.
Apple currant.
Oh.
Brown sugar, cinnamon.
I remember those.
And they are still pushing that shit.
I remember that.
But now that I like abracadabra, brown sugar, cinnamon, oatmeal, mm-hmm. I feel I might like to sprinkle a couple Pop-Tarts to make oatmeal taste like something that's not apple cinnamon shit.
Let's do that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah. Okay. When Kellogg's first introduced the toaster pastry in 1964, it was unfrosted and came with four flavors, as mentioned before. In 1967, the first frosted Pop-Tart hit the shelves.
The year of my birth.
Four now flavors as well.
That tells you.
The first four frosted flavors were Dutch apple, Concord grape, raspberry, and brown sugar cinnamon.
I have to say that if Concord grape existed, I've led an unfulfilled life. Because Concord grape, not one grape was harmed, but that shit's like crack.
Yeah. We need to go on a shopping expedition because according to this, there are over 30 kinds of Pop-Tarts. Coincidentally, the number of states that gay people can get married in.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are they related, ladies and gentlemen?
I'd
bolt you down the river.
Now,
for a Concord grape
based on
Pop-Tart.
Based on shelf life, if they came out in 67, somebody's got it in a pantry somewhere. We just got to find them.
I'm still alive. Many things from 67.
Around.
Semi-moist.
Number four.
And it's been commented upon at breakfast time.
Number four.
Number four, the toaster treat almost had a totally different name. Originally, the Pop-Tarts product was called a fruit scone.
Yep. No, that's not fun.
Doesn't get gayer than that. It was later changed.
They use that as my given name. There she is. Fruit scones coming. Also comes in Concord grape.
Alfie Fruit Scone Perkins.
That has a delightful ring.
Does it, though?
It?
Yeah. Oh.
Number five. The United States actually ran out of Pop-Tarts in 1964.
What?
Alert the media.
The pandemonium.
Yeah. Followed by the original ad. Oops, we goofed. Parenthetically, will you excuse us, please? We ran out of Pop-Tarts, the new breakfast treat.
We have to go dig up in Utah through nuclear waste to find things to put that can survive in foil
so
for 47
what,
years.
They just underproduced?
A Kellogg spokesperson told us that in 1964, the first shipment of Pop-Tarts sold out in just 2 weeks.
Oh, God damn.
So they were stoners. That's what we've learned.
Kellogg issued the above advertisement explaining it. Oops. And soon the Pop-Tarts were back on the shelves again.
Can you imagine, like, just walking down, and this would be me with Triscuits. You know, I live on Triscuits. It's my go-to food. Caraway seed Triscuits. Everything is better on the Triscuit. Like, just walking down and being like,
commercial
the
for a long
Triscuits
time.
Are gone. Like, there's just an empty shell
right,
inside. And said, no, I'm sorry. The stoners got here first. Yeah. That's when I know it'd be part of the apocalypse.
Yeah. When we run out of Pop-Tarts again, apocalypse. But they were new then.
But it's good. If you're planning your apocalypse at home like you should be, I think a foil-wrapped food that packs a lot of carbohydrates is not a bad way to go. And then the occasional pigeon that you kill and eat later.
Yeah, it's a balanced
diet for the apocalypse.
What's this Pop-Tart in the hat thing? What's that?
Number six, Pop-Tarts were also eaten sideways.
Oh.
But dun, dun.
They had them. They were perforated. You cracked them in half.
Now that I remember, and that was my mom trying to tell me I had to share a Pop-Tart with my sister.
Oh, fuck that.
There were bitten fingers. This is a true story, ladies and gentlemen.
On the coupon, save 8 cents. Look at that coupon. Eight whole cents.
If you look at the old ads and design of the Pop-Tart, it appears that you used to cut along the dotted lines and pull them apart.
Yes,
the filling oozed out of the middle where you split it. That's what she said. But now, You have just one solid pastry to heat up and then chow down.
Oh, I see. Oh, I just had a complete flashback to my childhood. Like, that diagonal thing, what, that was a fucking thing. That you cut it diagonally and you were supposed to, like, give one to Nancy.
No.
No. Bitch gets her own.
Fuck Nancy.
Exactly.
Fuck her. So.
In the Pop-Tart. Yeah. In the Pop-Tart.
Breaking news. Oh. Ebola is in the world.
We're not going to lose this Pop-Tart thing.
Are you interrupting the Pop-Tart thing
you
for Ebola?
You can get frosted great Pop-Tarts on Amazon. No, I don't give a shit about Ebola.
God.
I want a great fucking Pop-Tart.
Okay, good. We're back up.
Slap your Pop-Tart in
gas. No.
You can get them on Amazon.
Breaking news. Aaron from L.A. has got me. Well, I know where I'm going. Honey, I got a credit card and a job.
Girl, I got an Amazon Smile account. That's also going to benefit the kids' school.
Yep, you know what? Oh, I'll use your Smile account. And those things are getting shipped to Puerto Rico.
Smile.amazon.com. Choose Sonoran Style Elementary. Number 7. Frosted strawberry and frosted brown sugar cinnamon are the best-selling flavors. Mm. Kellogg swears to us that frosted strawberry followed by frosted brown sugar cinnamon are their most popular flavors. But HuffPost Taste did a death match and declared cinnamon brown sugar the clear winner.
4 out of 5.
Yeah. Number 8, the company makes about a billion Pop-Tarts a year.
Wow.
With a B.
In related news, diabetes is skyrocketing.
Fuck your telethon. We found the source.
Number 9, the United States troops once dropped Pop-Tarts on Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
In 2001, the Air Force sent Afghanis aid in the form of Pop-Tarts and Herb Rice to promote goodwill.
And one of the things was because even crumbly, if it broke, it was preserved and it was still, you could still find a way to, like, eat it.
I think the bad part came when they started shoving toasters out of those airplanes.
Due to a rash of head injury, your Pop-Tarts will not be enjoyed cold.
Number 10, we're nearly to the end. Pop-Tart cereal was actually a thing.
Oh!
I remember that, too.
No! Wow. Wow.
It was not the same, though. It was a bitter, bitter pill to swallow.
Followed by a YouTube video of the jingle. The jingle doesn't do him justice, but the comments suggest that the cereal had quite the following. So head up YouTube.com and search Pop-Tart cereal to see the original commercial. Number 11, Kellogg's even made special edition college Pop-Tarts.
For the stoners.
Yeah.
Because you know what the other thing was? The only thing you could really chug down when you were, like, completely spaced out on no-dos was, like, Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts of Top Ramen.
Yeah.
It's game day, and you know the drill. Throw on your jersey, buy a 12-pack, and pick up a box of your special edition college Pop-Tarts. Granted, this went away a few years ago, but it's still fun to think that you could eat part of your college experience.
You could eat part of your experience. Funny.
Speaking of, like, shitty foods that, like, had a little run in my life. They were called Hostess Crumb Cakes, and they're like little, like, I think they're supposed to be fancy cakes. They're cinnamon on top with crumbles, and it's a little sponge cake.
Yes.
When I had my wisdom teeth out, like, I wasn't interested in anything they were pushing besides, like, the occasional milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
But I could smash the crumb cake down and, like, get it between my closed teeth and, like, shove it in there and, like, gum it down. And even the Pop-Tart was too chewy. The Pop-Tart betrayed me at that point.
Because
you need, like, a gallon of milk to get down there.
Oh, yeah. You got to drink a quart of water behind that Pop-Tart because it's so dry. But, oh, they're good. they are like crack. You just have to
milk
have
is the way
them.
To go.
But I didn't have any milk. So I had a bottle of Crown and a Pop-Tart. So we still got it done.
Grown-up Pop-Tart.
Yeah. Exactly. What else?
When college
Number 12, also known as the first runner-up, there was once a Pop-Tart store in Times Square.
What?
The Pop-Tarts World Store opened its doors August 10th, 2010, and closed not long after.
God damn it.
August 12th, 2010.
When it was
you
open.
You know why? That's when I wasn't going.
God damn it. When it was open on 42nd Street in New York City, the New York Times reported that the store was known for making Pop-Tart sushi, a light show that occurred every hour, and a dessert menu to die for.
A light show?
I like sushi.
Yeah, me too. I like a light show.
I like Pop-Tarts. I do not want raw fish on my semi-moist. Humans all have agreed on a breakfast treat. No.
But I would at least taste Pop-Tarts rolled in those crunchy things covered in eel sauce. I'm just going to say.
I'm probably on board with you on that.
I would taste that.
see y'all April 20th, then we'll try that out. You know what I mean?
I like it. Can I get a caterpillar roll with some Pop-Tart?
Because just when you think something's so fucked up, you go to a state fair and they've deep-fried cheese, and you're like, well, it turns out I was on board with deep-fried cheese. I wouldn't have thought of it a year ago.
Right. If they deep-fry a Pop-Tart. Holy shit, we may have something.
Or like that new thing that they do at fancier Mexican restaurants where they make that really delicate...
It's called fried ice cream. It's been going on for years.
No, the spider webby thing of cheese.
Oh.
And they deep fry it and it smells like feet because it's like... It's like Parmesan or something kind of cheese, but you
break
it off.
It's more and more appealing every time.
Yeah, but it's like this delicate, and either they do it as a flat thing that sits on a plate, and it's really and it looks like a spider web, like a little thicker spider web, and they brown the cheese, and it's crunchy cheese.
Okay.
But it's like a Parmesan-y kind of like really pungent.
Right.
So it smells like feet, but then it's crunchy and it's really fucking tasty if you like hold your breath and drink a lot.
Really good. Wow. Like I do.
Come on, coleslaw.
We're back to coleslaw.
Number 13, the biggest bombshell of all. Sales of Pop-Tarts have been on the rise for 32 years.
And I think they're going up in the last 2 weeks. Just based probably on what we're talking about them, yeah.
So on my list, we have to get Pop-Tarts, and I need a brand new toaster. We deserve it.
Concord grape. I want
Concord
those.
Grape, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can find
it. We should Kellogg's write them. You like to write letters to companies. You do it all the time. You, I'm talking to you.
Me, Clayton? Me,
yes, yes. Him.
Yes, write to Kellogg's.
Write to Kellogg's
send
and say, we
the last two shows.
Concord grape. Tell him I'm dying of something. Pick a disease. Clubfoot. I don't know.
Sugar beaties.
He's got the sugar beaties. He wants to go down in a blaze of glory.
Can we get Concord grape frosted?
Oh, could you imagine? Concord grape jelly. Grapes, it doesn't exist. There's no such fucking thing as whatever that taste is. But that Concord grape jelly,
we're going to need an assortment.
Not for me.
We're going to need
an assortment. Oh, you try your own flavors. I'm going to be in Concord grape. I just want to go to Concord and eat those fucking grapes because that grape jelly, and you know it's just sugar.
Well, of course it is. Artificial flavoring. I would say artificial flavor and neutering. I don't know what the hell that
is. Let me tell you, however you self-identify, I know my way around a grape.
Yeah, that's
look at the camera. Look at your TV screen.
Dawn said that my next book is...
She's argle-bargle about wine over there. Let me tell you what.
Right. A bottle of Crown of Pop-Tart. That's Clayton's next book that I'm supposed to write.
Oh, my God. Write that down. That'll sell.
Oh, by the way...
It's called Whiskey to 20-Year-Old.
His name was Pop-Tart. He performed well.
He was a showgirl.
But that was 15 minutes ago.
He worked from 8 till 4.
Yeah. He liked to be called Lola.
We don't talk about that.
No,
part.
We don't. No. Molly says she. Now, if you go to YouTube and look up hamster eating a tiny Pop-Tart, that's there. Because there's a hamster eating a burrito.
I was saying, there's genre of YouTube video with hamsters eating tiny
things.
Stuff.
I can't watch rats eat food.
Oh, why not? They're so filthy. Cute.
It's a hamster.
It's a hamster.
But, now Don knows from Concord grapes. Like that. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Sure
that shit
does.
Is good. Concord grape jelly. You just smell that shit. You just know that good things are going to happen.
Well, there's that.
That's the title on my
book. How they lure you into a horror movie with a chainsaw.
What is that? Your name of your
book? You just smell that shit and you know good things are going to happen. That's the title of my book.
All right. We are going to continue on with this next segment because Daddy's running a little tight on time tonight. So
all right.
Gallo Blanco does have that cheese number. Ernie knows what I mean.
Okay. Okay.
Good. It's called spun cheese. I think it's called spun cheese or something where they spin it. They put it on a spindle and they spin it and fry it at the same time so it turns into like and it looks like a spider web.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, it's really, and it's crunchy, but it does smell like feet. You get like your first thing is like,
hush puppies.
Somebody needs to bathe more often down there.
Well, here we go with our final segment of the night.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned.
good luck.
Says, oh shit, here we go.
Well, actually, Don, this one is for you. And so everybody chime in, because everybody's from somewhere different. So it's not really as thoughtful, but you can make it vulgar if you want to. If you want to.
You can call me Flower.
Or if you want to. So, like, what's a back home food? Like, what's a food from, and I'm not going with the obvious for me, but, like, what's a back home food? Like, Don is saying that Western New York is just a Concord grape everything. What would you say is, like, a back home food? Like, when you smell it, when you taste it, when you hear somebody's making it, it just reminds you of, like, where you're from, like a local.
Chicken fried steak for me. And I don't know, it's not necessarily a hometown thing. But I mean,
I don't have to be fain.
But there is one thing. People used to call there was a restaurant back home called Fred and Red's, and it was it literally
communist.
No, it was as big as this room, and it was
baby.
Solid packed all the time. And they had it was the first place that they had it was spaghetti with chili, but it was their own recipe. It was really really good. And oddly, it just closed not too long ago. It was there forever and ever. But when I hear anybody refer to when I think of spaghetti, or I think of somebody refers spaghetti red, or some, I always think that it was so wonderful. I used to go with the grandparents that owned the bar, the nightclub. He and my grandfather and I would go, and you'd sit up at the counter. And again, it was old. It was original, not like the diners they make now that look like the 50s.
Right, right.
It was original, and you'd go in there, and you had to wait in line to get into these 10 bar stools that were at this counter. And you know, they had everything. There was the spaghetti and the big thing of the chili, and then you'd put pickles and onions and everything. It was just lovely. It was a wonderful thing.
So now does your mom like attempt the recipe?
No, no, no.
In the family
no,
attempted?
But nobody ever is. It was just that restaurant was one thing. For food that I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this. Nobody, like everybody makes, mom makes a breakfast a certain way, my mom. And it's like there's that style and that way mom makes it, but there was a way that grandma made it. But nobody can reproduce that. Like, grandma made eggs and bacon. It's the same goddamn thing, but
oh, yeah,
she
but
made
everybody
it
has
different.
Their own flair,
yeah. Right,
it's called lard.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're getting bacon and eggs for me, that bacon is burned.
Yeah, or oleo, as grandma used to call it.
Yeah.
But there were certain things that I'll never have again. But mom has her own way of making spaghetti that I absolutely love. And, like, I crave that flavor. And I've tried a few times to go to a couple different restaurants thinking, I just need a spaghetti fix. But it's not that spaghetti fix. I can't find it. So I literally have to call mom and I'm like, look, we're doing dinner on X night. What do I need to bring for you to make spaghetti?
Right, right, yeah.
So I just, I look for that.
Mm-hmm.
You, ma'am?
Well, as far as regional foods go, I would have to say lime Jell-O with shredded carrots.
The fuck is that?
It's a Mormon thing.
Oh, my.
And my mother affectionately calls it Icky Red Mormon Punch, which is equal parts Hawaiian Punch and Sprite or 7-Up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now
served at every Mormon function
the
ever.
The first one is like a casserole dish that every... Like, it's just,
yes.
It's anybody that cooks out of a pantry of stuff that could last, that comes
this?
In foil.
Yo, you
right, no, it's that people. Oh, my God, look, it's Susie's recipe.
Who made this potato salad?
I love this recipe. It's just green Jell-O and carrots, but it looks like Christmas. Yeah. Oh, no, that is exact. That shows up at a lot of parties. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's a period of your life, you're like, God, that's good. And then you're a little later, you're like, did we ever eat that shit?
We did indeed.
Yeah.
As children, it got lopped on your plate, and you couldn't get up until the plate was
clean.
Right.
Everybody has that variation of green Jell-O with carrots. That's just, it's a homey, it's a, like, everybody got together for a potluck, and somebody brings the thing that's got Ritz crackers sprinkled over the top to make it crunchy, and they bake it for, 375, 45 minutes. Tastes just like Campbell's soup.
It's so good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Cream of mushroom soup and Ritz crackers, that recipe that just transcends all nationalities, all races. It just shows up at someone's house.
Nationalities and races of white people.
I'm going to describe a food in a minute, and you guys can tell me what you call it from where you're from. But it's so
right. It's the same thing where you think it's something specific, but it's really just everyone
has a different food.
It's just passed on through people that didn't have a lot of money but wanted to make something that looked nice and maybe had a vegetable,
shredded carrots,
part of it,
shredded
and then
carrots.
Horse hooves.
So for you, what would that food be?
Well, I have to do John's because there's these three restaurants in Niagara Falls, and they're within about 10 feet. Actually, Hacienda and Michael's literally share a parking lot, and there will be fist fights in the parking lot as to where your family is going for dinner because you're like, well, Michael's is so good, but La Hacienda is so good. Michael's is so good. It's both Italian foods. It's both like homemade pasta. La Hacienda has better pizza. Michael's has better homemade pasta. But then the Como's across the street, and the Como has... the Como just has the most... And I told you about that when I thought my mother had Alzheimer's because she was asking for egg drop soup from the Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck, lady? Like, that's not even possible. And they make... I can't remember what the Italian name is for their egg drop soup, but they do make it. I just had never known about it because we'd never had it.
Oh, okay.
And then she's saying Amy Petito's house. And I was going to say, or Marcy's place, Marcy's Palace. Because all of our families made, because it was homemade. So you either went to the restaurant that mom was in the kitchen and selling it for, like, you could, if you come to Niagara Falls and you go to Michael's for dinner or the Como, dinner's like $8, and it's like your full plate of pasta, your salad, the bread on the table, your drinks included. Like, you get out of there with a dinner for $5 for like $40.
Holy crap.
And you can have a glass of Chianti if you want to. The craziness, but the food is spectacular. Stuffed shells. And I'm going to go with, and I'll just keep mentioning stuff. Mine is the stuffed shells and the veal cutlets.
Mm.
When I go home, the lady down the street breaks into the house. And she gets mad. They try to not tell her now because she's in her 80s. But I'm like, I don't give a shit if she's sick. She can still cook, can't she?
Touching moments on
the can she pound that veal into tender little cuts? I'm fucking in.
And I'm like, I'll go. And now I do go get it. But then she's like, Alfie, I made sauce, too. There's a couple meatballs in the sauce. So I'm like, and my sisters, my brother-in-law, my nieces, everybody will come over. And they're like, what are we having for dinner? I'm like, well, Angeline made me cutlets and shells, so we'll share.
Yeah.
And they're always like, well, did she make any extra sauce? Yeah, but we're not, no, it's not yours. Like, that's not available. the extra meatballs were specifically for, and we just, like, we start doing it. And there's a place called Viola's, and it was right across from our high school. Oh, my God, they had steak and cheese subs with, like, salt and pepper and oil and vinegar that were, like, the simplest mm-hmm. recipe. And you would just smell that little secret sauce they did of oil and vinegar and salt and pepper that your mouth would water. And you would, like, walk out of the high school and you could smell it across the street. And, like, where are we going for lunch? Viola's. When they had open campus before people started running people over and they had to have closed campus. Or, I don't know, we all got caught doing something awful.
I was like, kids like me were at the coffee shop down the place smoking pot the whole time, yeah.
And then Niagara Falls, because they tore down our high school and they built the, you know, paved paradise and put up a parking lot. None of those things are true.
Just
high
school, say that.
High school wasn't a paradise, and it's not a parking lot. It's
a
mall.
It never has been, yeah.
But they opened an Olive Garden, and everybody in Niagara Falls was excited. I'm like, every one of your families makes better food than that shitty fucking restaurant. And they'll be like, oh, but we like the breadsticks. Then ask your grandma to make you some fucking breadsticks. Like, every... and
there's
I get
kind
so
of crack
offended.
In those.
And Angeline's grandchildren, and they know, Grandma, and they call her Grandmama Angie or Grandma Angeline, that her grandchildren be like, oh, we took Grandma Angeline to
and she loves it.
Olive Garden. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? You know how shitty it is. But she's like, I don't have to fucking cook.
There's that.
You cooked it? I love it. Yeah.
It is just so funny. And like, so like from where you're from, like smells, sights, touches, like what things, like especially when it gets to fall, I start to get like kind of, you know what I mean? When I have a day like today, we're
misty-eyed.
Like...
misty-eyed.
Yeah, well, I walked out of work, and there was, like, it was an actual cool breeze, and I was like, ooh, a windbreaker, if I knew what that was, would be nice.
Members only.
Yeah, but, like, what like, smells or scents or, like, and I don't know if it's just that fall that always brings that out in me.
No, I think...
fake Arizona fake fall, which today we're having kind of a real fall, because mm-hmm. it's only 95.
Are you, right, for us. I used to do a lot of what I did back home... For the 5 years before I moved out here, in addition to the radio stuff and TV stuff, on the side, I would do lawns for people because I had all this fucking equipment and I was like, I'll make cash. But one of the things that they always had to have, because there were a million trees and it was always leaf cleanup. So that smell of, just the smell of fall in the air and all of those leaves were always that smell. So you knew that time of the year was, it was prosperous because,
yeah.
I mean, you were making money mowing lawns all summer, but then the leaf thing was huge because
people let their lawns go for a week, but that leaf thing is filthy
and
things live in there and everyone knows it.
And then it gets wet and then, so they want them all cleaned out. They want all this stuff done. So the smell of the leaves after they turn color, and then you'd pile them all up. Because in our field back home, we would, like, I'd bring the truck home, the truck that's in your garage, and that'd be full, and I would dump it on this huge pile. So then, in the winter, when we had snow on the ground, we would go down to the pile. My grandfather had a huge brush pile. As long as there was snow on the ground, then we'd light it on fire and burn. Once a year, we burned the pile. So that smell of the burning always makes reminds me of.
I know, and it's a vaguely pleasant smell for some reason. My grandfather used to do that too, where he would keep all the leaves next to this one tree, and once there was enough snow on the ground, he would burn it.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And it sounds like telling it now, all these years later, and having not seen snow in a long time. It sounds like it should smell like wet dog.
Yeah, but no.
But it's really pleasant.
Yeah, that's good. All those things burning.
Oh, and Molly says the sweet corn in grocery stores.
That's nice.
Fresh produce.
That's nice. I don't know. This time of year, I always just start to really look forward to Thanksgiving. Like, it's always been a favorite holiday of mine.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, when I can, I decided a long time ago that I was going to make that, like, my family holiday where I go and I travel to my mom's house, and, like, that's what I do. So as soon as the weather breaks here, I start going, how long till Thanksgiving, and we're going to go, and we're going to figure it out. Yeah.
That's one that I try to make sure that I spend with the right people. You know what I mean? Thanksgiving's one of those I try to pay attention to. Like,
Christmas
I like
just
that
costs
holiday.
A lot of money. I ain't traveling for that, but...
It's you know, it's too much fucking work.
Oh yeah,
and Thanksgiving stays local. There's no, you know, I've gone to Vegas for it and had fun, but with good friends. And but it's like that one to me is very special.
Yeah, I travel for that one. I go to my mom's.
Yeah,
like end of story. If I'm going anywhere, I'm either gonna stay home or I'm gonna go to mom's. So yes.
And you're staying local this year because your sister's coming to visit. Which sister?
Debbie.
Debbie's. I was reminding my mom and I couldn't remember.
And she's coming. Well, she's coming to her house. You might want to
get No, I knew. No, I knew that. I just couldn't remember which sister was coming.
And for me, it's that and I don't know if they have Indian summer where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
But that was always my favorite, with that little break of like the rainy fall, the cooling fall, when you get that one little week that's just a little bit warmer, and that like. And, you know, once they turn the clocks back, it gets dark at, like, 2 p.m. in New York.
No kidding.
It's, like, dark all the time. But you get that those couple nice nights where, like, the moon is out, but it's nice enough for a walk, and you can just get by with a light jacket and a mosquito. And, and this time of year, like, when it's that little bit of coolness, where in Niagara Falls, that would have been warmness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a change in temperature. It's going the wrong way, but it's that right thing. And I did as I walked out today. I'm like, oh, this is one of those days where you would like just kind of like want to walk around and walk the neighborhood and like to sit on the porch and just kind of like enjoy that one night that was a weird temperature with the breeze. And it has because I love horror movies, but it has that creepy feeling like riding here tonight when it's nice outside and you've got that little breeze that's just the right temperature, that's not cold, it's not warm, and there's somebody walking in front of you that looks like they might be a serial killer.
To
me, Halloween has a big pull to it, too. Like, October has that creepiness because there's scary decorations up, there's shadows everywhere, it's light, it's still light a little later. It just has that eerie... And I kind of like it because everybody's kind of dangerous. You got to decide, like, ooh, do I ride on the sidewalk or do I go out in the traffic because this guy could have an axe?
The other thing that I remember from back home, and obviously it's snow, and I'm fine with not ever experiencing this again because it involves snow. But when you walk out of the house of a morning and there's so much snow that it absorbs every sound and it's just silent. Like even cars going by, you can't hear them because the snow absorbs every sound.
And it's from the inside, it's pretty, but from the this will ruin a future vulgarity. But from the inside, when you like peek out the window on the day,
and it's pristine,
and you know, and I call it the ice blue sky, and the sky is perfectly clear, so you know it's colder than a witch's fucking tit outside, and the snow is all white, and you just know like that is murder out there, like there is you will not survive. But from inside in a warm house, it is one of the most beautiful sights. But you know, you open that door, and people 70 feet away, under a blanket, are like, "Fuck you." Like you just know the hell that's out there, but it looks so pretty through a window.
I used to like also when we'd look out the back windows of our family house back home, because we had bird feeders. So Grandpa always had bird feeders, and there was birds everywhere. But the snow of an early morning, if you got up before the birds, you could see the tracks in the snow from where the deer would come through looking for something.
Or tracks of anything.
Yeah, but more often from where we were, the deer would come up into our field from the adjacent forest, if you whatever it was, and they'd come up into the field because they knew that if there's a bird feeder up there, there's grain, we can get food. So they'd come up and venture and eat around the where the birds all kick it out, and it's all over the ground.
Yeah.
But they would come up and eat it off the ground if they could get to it through the snow.
And the other, like on a nice day, and you'd have that, it has that, like, by the pricking of my thumbs feel, that's what I always call it, when it's got that weird wind and you can just feel it in your bones that the wind, that the weather's changing, but it's still nice outside. You'd go to the end of my mom's driveway or my parents' driveway, and you would look south towards Buffalo, and it looked like in the sky there was a mountain range, but it was the blizzard clouds coming.
Oh.
And it was like getting to just on the horizon, and it looked like there was a mountain range to the south. And now whenever I look and I see, like, South Mountain, if I'm somewhere where I can see that mountain,
it looks that same way.
It looks that same way because it looked, and it was so ominous. Mm-hmm. But it'd be a nice day in Niagara Falls, but you just know, oh, this shit's coming to an end. And Dawn, I come to, Cal says, Al, your nice and calm days are terrifying. Cal, everything with me is a horror movie. Like, I live in constant fear of the apocalypse. Not fear, but I find it delightful that everybody could be a serial killer. And Dawn, I come to Washington all the time, and the next time I'm there, I will look you up. Because I love Washington.
Never been. Someday I'll go. Who knows? People are going to potentially get married there soon. And as in all of these other states.
And I have no money for any of your gay marriages.
No,
so
fuck
I'm
you.
Going with Buddy's book of hugs and warm wishes.
I like that. I saw that. I saw that.
I'll give you a coupon that says Clayton will wash your car.
If you're cute.
And by wash your car, I mean the with the hose.
The danger.
From across the street.
This is wrapping up 3 hours of whatever you want to call this past 3 hours. Thank you for being with us.
And Ann and Drew and Cal.
Everybody
and Molly
in the chat room.
And, oh my God, there's so many people.
Remember, we will not be here live for a show next week, but in 2 weeks, it's going to be the Pop Tart and Toaster Heaven here in Studio C. Join us for that, where we sample everything that's made to be a Pop Tart. But until then, we will see you next Tuesday!
Or the day after that.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.